Blog Talk Radio. Brother Sharif, Brother Sharif, Brother Sharif, and Thor Ministry Radio. Brother Sharif and Thor Ministry Radio.
Dig this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go again. How low can you go?
How y'all feel out there?
I know you're gonna dig this.
Okay, party people in the house. Yeah, boy.
Are you ready for more with Thor Radio? Are you being harassed by debt collectors? Are you facing foreclosure?
Okay.
Well, bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt. Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Peace, welcome. You are listening to Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Truth Radio, a.k.a. we deal with all topics relating to economics, the construction of family, the uplifting of the people, the overall education of the people. Today is Friday, August the 22nd, double twos, which my good brother Pill would know equates to 44, for those of you in numerology. Today's a special day. It's a Thor Radio special. We're going to discuss a topic today that we usually do not discuss, and that's violence in America. Whether it is racism, as they affectionately call it. I have invited some of the most esteemed men and women that has graced this so-called underground internet radio movement. I reached out to them because they, first of all, do a great justice to the people at large. They put in their time, their efforts, their sweat, at the sacrifice sometimes of themselves, their families. And I invited them here to support the topic and the subject matter today, which is violence in America. Those guests are the Twin Pillars, a.k.a. Blue Pill and Red Pill from KTL Radio on Blog Talk. By far, KTL Radio, which is known as Know the Ledge Radio, has been in existence for about 4 to 5 years now, nonstop. Two young, educated, conscious, ear-to-the-street men who decided to take the information and put it in a venue where everybody can experience it. So they're here in attendance today, at least the Blue Pill is. I've invited True Freeman, who is one of the community's, conscious community's investigative reporters, so to speak. He has given himself, sacrificed himself, his time, and time of his family to bring his experiences and knowledge a bit better to the people at large. Also, which is our health queen, is going to be here to provide that electricity along with the magnets, which is the male and the female. Another young man that I feel is contributing to knowledge and education of the people who's here, Brother Mario Bay. And I've asked them all to be here because I feel they share the same sentiments and position as I do on what's going on in society. I believe Gilly Polk is here as well. I haven't met him formally, but we're going to have a lot of people chiming in and bringing forth their energy, positive energy. This is not going to be a negative show. Thor Radio does not do ghetto radio. You will not hear verbal bouts here and cussing and screaming and yelling and disrespecting and demeaning and demoralizing. We don't have that here. And the people here, to my knowledge, don't participate in that. And if they did participate in it, I believe they would come to this forum and reduce that diet to a more intellectual contribution. We all get excited and passionate about things we've experienced or things that we're trying to get others to see. And sometimes that passion comes out differently in others than ourselves. But I'm going to get into, because I have about 30 minutes, I ask that my invited guests bear with me because I want to start off by giving my testimony of what I see is going on today. I'm hoping that everybody can follow me and understand that the depiction that I'm going to deliver is my opinion, my observation, my personal experiences. A result of what I've seen. You might not share the same opinion. You may be able to agree with some of it and not all of it. But where maturity comes in is if I happen to inject a few nouns and verbs or situations you may not relate to, hopefully you don't discard the whole message because you didn't agree with certain parts of it, which is one of the issues we have as a people in communicating, is that either we have to agree with everything that people say, or we don't agree with anything that we say. So I'm going to ask my guests to bear with me. I'm going to speak on some topics and get it started. I'm going to leave everybody muted until I finish, and then I'm going to bring everybody in, starting at the top with Blue Pill and True Freeman, and I'm going to bring in the rest of the guests so everybody will have an opportunity to chime in. We're scheduled for a four-hour show. We have a lot of ground to cover. We're hoping that everybody is able to come together here as a community because, as y'all know, Thor's community is a hybrid of various backgrounds and what you call ethnicities or race. My panel is diverse. My listening audience is diverse. This is not a black or a white show. It is a show. This is not a black or a white topic. It is a topic. And the things I'm going to discuss, I believe everybody can possibly relate to. And if you can't relate to it, maybe it's a deposit into mind as to what you may start to look at differently. I've noticed a significant increase in what is viewed as violence. I've noticed an overreaching sense of government intrusion, political intrusion. But I've also noticed a deterioration and decay in the people. Now, if y'all know anything about Brother Sharif, when I speak generally. And when I'm speaking to a particular person or a group of people, I will identify that. I want to go back to and bring you forward, and then we'll talk about the violence of today, but I want to go back into yesterday and see if we can do some historical poking around and see where we might have some responsibility in what is happening today, because it didn't just show up today. Okay? The society we have today took a long while to get to the point where it is right now. All right? Let's talk about the family for a minute. The history of family. Most of us here on this call are the product of the family through the era of the 50s and 60s and 70s. Okay, what we call old school. In my opinion, I notice attack, so to speak, society-wide on the family back in the 60s, early 70s. And I'm sharing this because we have to understand that what you're seeing right now is about the most perfect picture of a divided family that one can see. There are fatherless and motherless kids that are experiencing changes that we, the adults, had a hand in. There's a systemic problem on many fronts, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them. One is the first systemic front issue that we're dealing with is the destruction of the family, the separation of mother and father. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that because we, in growing up, in the late 60s or even early 60s, for those of you that were there, a lot of us had mothers and fathers in the home, or some of us didn't. Up until the 60s, I believe it was common for a mother and father to be in the home. And around the early 60s, I think it began to be uncommon. Let's talk about possibly why. I don't think that the destruction of the family is by coincidence. I think it's rather intentional. Let me tell you why I think it's intentional. When we look at family, to me it consists of a mother and a father and there's children. Mother and father and children. That's what we see today as an example of family. However, if we look just to come up to current times, what we see out on the street is not family. We see mothers across the street, fathers across the other street, and children across the other street. Just look at your current news today. Well, why is that? It just didn't happen today. What is happening is that our society, through our media and our disruptive court system, has bred an environment to where there is no more self. There is no more I. There is no more family. And where did that start? I think it started back in the 60s, maybe before. If you want to segregate it a little bit and talk about blacks and white, let's go back in history and talk about in the 1960s. After the World War II, as far as I remember, and this is just history, subjective, you don't have to believe it, I'm just discussing information. I don't know if it's exactly true myself. But information is out there that after World War II, so-called black people were making progress economically. They were dominating in economics, occupationally. They had the skills. They were working. There was family. I don't know if many of you know, as far as my understanding, unions came about due to the fact that because of the slave trade, so to speak, black people were more skilled than other cultures because of the fact they were slaved to perform certain occupational functions. In other words, jobs. So once some type of freedom occurred and they were able to go out and, I guess, be so-called free, they were the population that was receiving most of the jobs because they were skilled. And because of that, and because they dominated the workforce, because they had all the skills, the union came in to protect other classes, if you want to say the white class, to leverage the playing field. Now, I'm just giving you some histories. It's not a black and white affair. I'm just giving you some history because we have to deal with history before we can deal with the current. So the union came in to level the playing field. And after World War II, the so-called black community was said to be thriving. Had jobs, were independent, had families. There was mother and father. Subsequent to that, we had in the 1960s, the government comes along and they bring in or implement the Welfare Act. Now, I'm going to say some things today that may offend some people. I apologize in advance. I'm speaking about things as I know it, and hopefully you take it that way. But I got to call it like Brother Sharif sees it. I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm not speaking for anyone but me. So in the 1960s, they implemented the welfare. And the welfare was acted supposedly to help women, not just black women, white and black women, that needed help allegedly because they were being mistreated or abandoned by men. Now, all of you would have to go into your own historical treasure chest and make an individual determination whether that's true. Let me speak about how I seen it growing up. So the welfare came in, and whatever we know, the government comes in. You know, they don't come in to repair, restore, or reset family values. Usually they're coming in my opinion, to either provide a Band-Aid or to inject in a situation that will enable them to monetarily benefit from a program. Many of you probably think otherwise. And maybe back in the 60s when the Welfare Act was implemented, maybe some of you women thought so. So they introduced the Welfare Act, and y'all know what that is. They will supply you with some food stamps, food coupons, and milk, and WIC, and Pampers, diapers, and Section 8 housing. Section 8 housing was whereby they built some projects, I mean concentration camps, I mean farms, I mean an area with some cheap land, threw up some cheap housing, usually in a not so pleasant area of the community, separated you most of the time from, and that was called the projects. I grew up in the projects. So with the benefit of having welfare for the women that believed at that time that they were being abandoned by their men or the fathers or whatever have you, or they wasn't being treated correctly, and the government came in and said, all right, bridge out of this situation. We'll give you Section 8 so you can have your own independence. We'll give you some food stamps so you can feed your kids. We'll give you some milk so you can nurse your babies. And these days, as they modernize it, they're even throwing a cell phone for goodwill with about 100 minutes. So they brought that in, and the only catch to it was you can't have that man around. You can't have that man and have the welfare. You're going to have to choose. Get that father out the house, get that man out the house, or get these food stamps, get this Section 8 and this milk and this bread and this cheese, and keep yourself separated from the father and the man. So, a lot of women went for that. Some women needed to disconnect from situations. I'm not going to doubt that. My mother was one of them that disconnected from her marriage to my father and took the independent route that the government offered. And we lived in the women farm, I call it, because I call it a farm for so-called people. But when you look at it from other lenses, you can see it being a farm for what the government might have seen or what they see as an animal farm. So they put us in these areas. Usually these areas have one or two entrances or exits, okay, similar to concentration camps. I mean, they could lock it down at any time. They knew who was coming in, who was going out. And it was a maze that just led to more buildings in the projects. So easily manageable. So they gave the welfare, told you need to stay away from the man, gave the woman the excuse to leave when otherwise they should have worked it out, kept the family together. But as you know, the government's not going to come in and help repair the family. How would they benefit from that, huh? So women got out the house and find a reason to leave. Daddy was gone too much. He worked too much. Or, you know, they promised you that they were going to go and help you get your degree and go to school and all these promises they were going to do. And, again, the catch was, got to leave that man. You got to leave the father. So they put you over there in the projects. One of the conditions of being on government assistance is you can never exceed a certain level, which is the poverty level. But at the same time, they promised you to give you training and education that was going to allow you to advance beyond that situation, but it never happened. Never happened in my family. I have aunts that were on welfare forever. Some of y'all can maybe relate to that. Because after you get into that environment, really, why do you want to work? When you can just have the government and the state take care of you and maybe have a sugar daddy on the side, give you a couple of dollars, and you can live a good life. So then what happened? Well, you put all these women who have now left their men, their husbands, now left the father of their kids, got you all packed up on the farm, put you all together so all of y'all can talk, share horror stories, support each other. You're on the farm. Okay? This, in my opinion, was the first element of destroying the family. They could have easily had programs for counseling, programs to keep the family together, programs to maybe help the mother and father team that was struggling somewhat, and made the benefit was you have to stay with the family, if at all possible. I know some of you women are going to talk about abuse and all that. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that. So after we get through the welfare, we separate from the men. The children are separated from the father. And if y'all know historically, even biblically, for some of you that are religious or spiritual, if you want to destroy society or culture of people, first thing you do is what? Remove the father from the house. Remove the man from the woman. It's no coincidence that the Bible mentions fatherless 44 times. Brother Blue Pill, that number 44. And it mentions motherless one time. 18 times it mentions the Father and God. I guess that's a coincidence. But it also says to not oppress the widow and the fatherless. Specifies that. I wonder why that is. But let's go back to the project. So we get in there and, you know, able to get some assistance, and she's in an independent mindset, and I don't need no man. I'm going to do it by myself. And society says, yes, you can do it, and the government is helping you dismantle your family for some food stamps, some cheese, some bread, and maybe a cell phone in 2014. So you pack all the women in this project with their kids, and you put them in a neighborhood, and across the street, who's there? Well, Pookie and Brian and Jack and Tom is living across the street or down the street. And they're looking at a whole entire area with women that are disconnected from their men and children that are disconnected from their fathers. Well, some of you are historians. You know that if you want to oppress a society, separate them from the father and separate the men, women from the men. It causes all kinds of problems. I'm sure y'all know self-esteem problems, self-confidence, mental and emotional issues. Once that occurs, the men start knowing that there's a club called a project where you can go and there's single women there that's living off of $200 a month, or they got Section 8, they got a nice little place, or in some instances it may not be nice. They're single, they're distressed, they're without a man, they're disheveled, they're displaced. So now Pookie and Jack and Bob and Tom hangs out at the projects with government property, which is the women on state and government assistance called welfare, right? And let's talk about historically. We know that men, for the most part, can be deemed to be undisciplined when it comes to women. We know as men that's our biggest weakness. All right? Women are the nuclear weapon that they take down the most powerful men in the world. It just is what it is. Right? We have titles of, you know, men are dogs and, you know, men are this and men are that. And, you know, some women fall into that. But now we have a whole community, a project of women that probably has that mentality, maybe. I don't know. Our women have the tough job of now raising kids by themselves, which society tells you now is doable. I tend to disagree. Society will now have you believing in the maternal presumption. I tend to disagree with that. I don't think there has to be the raising of children by mothers or women. Doesn't have to be. But if there's a plan, a societal plan to make it that way, I think that's pretty much been accomplished if you look at the world today. But let's stay back there and look at what happened. So the women go in and now they know that they can get state assistance. They know that the state will give them a place to stay, give them something to eat, give them a few dollars, put them in a little high school program and promise them they're going to get an education and be able to stay disconnected from their men and the fathers. So the state does that for a great amount of time. They come in and they do their little thing, and then the women go out, and here come the men from across the street, across town, because they know where the women are, where the easy prey is, so to speak, at least emotionally and mentally. The women had no idea they were going to be told what to do and how to do it. Some of these projects will tell you, you know, you can't have visitors after 5, and, you know, you can't have no man living with you when you're in the projects. You're on government assistance. That man has to be totally out, okay? And we want to think that the government is helping us, all right? So then the women go out, and as women, we become victims of the system, because the system tells you that you can do it by yourself. You don't need no man. The kids will grow up fine without their father. I wonder who's pushing that theory. So we get on and we go out there, and here come the brothers coming out to the project, and they pulling up with a little car, they might have a little job, and they come up there and they start fraternizing and engaging with state property. Forgive me, the women. Right? And the state is trying to help you, aren't they? They're trying to give you independence. They're trying to make you better. So we go out there, and now she got rid of Bob, and she got rid of Pookie. Now here come Byron and Jack. So the state and the government has created such a comfort zone, the women knowing that they can be taken care of. Well, she's looking for a replacement, so she gets involved with Byron and Jack, and she gets pregnant again. And she just goes downtown and fills out the paperwork, and they give her an extra bag of rice, extra bag of loaf bread, and extra block of cheese, and $20-$30 more a month. And now we got another kid in the house and another baby daddy. So how many times does that happen? Well, we know how that story goes. We wound up with some of us, you know, with stepdaddies and 3-4 baby daddies and stepmothers, and y'all know how the story goes. So that situation gets owed to the government and the state, and they start to figure out that that's not working because the government is just paying for women to be home and not working, having more kids, costing more money, and we're not dealing with the real issue of family. So they figure out what's the next way to get some more money. What do they come up with? Another invention, child support. So they go through their natural resources, which is the media, and they start pushing this propaganda that the men are abandoning their kids and women need the help and men are just not doing right. And all the while, you know, they're down there in the projects and the men know where the women are that are easier probably to prey upon because they're without men. The children are without fathers. Right? So here come Pookie, who don't have a job, meeting Buquisha, and then here come Janie or Brittany meeting Brett, and they like, look, you got the golden ticket. The state going to take care of you. So we can have them kids. Look, I ain't trying to live with you. I'm going to keep doing my thing. We're going to have these children and let the state take care of it. Don't worry about it. Right? State gets wind of that, and they say, look, we got to get some of this money back. So they come up with child support. Child support comes in. They just like, okay, we figured out a way that we done disconnected you from your husband, your man, the father of your kids. We just producing in the projects. We got 4 or 5 kids, and if you have so many, you know, they'll go on and upgrade you to a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom. Right? Then they'll throw you some birth control. Talk about that for a minute. 1 out of 3 pregnancies end in abortion. 1 out of 3. So let's just be safe and say at least 2 women considered abortion, but actually 1 out of 3 went through with it. So let's talk about the birth control. Morning after pill. Birth control. You can take a shot and cover for the next 5 years. Right? Free from your government because they care about your family. They care about your future. They don't have any classes to teach you discipline. They don't have anything else for you once they disconnect you from your men, from the fathers. So they give you birth control instead. Now what do we have? Some of you women might get mad at me. I'm going to get to you men in a minute. So we have women that are comfortable with state welfare. They can have kids at will. Know that the state's going to take care of them. They don't have to really have any meaningful interaction with the men because the state won't allow it or they'll lose their funding, their independence that they feel the state has given them. We're getting pregnant. The women are going out, and they're a little bit more promiscuous. They're a little bit more risky because of birth control, morning after, five-year shot. They're a little bit more promiscuous because if they get pregnant, well, you know, the state will take care of them. They just go out and fill out another piece of paper and say, I had another one. So we get down to the point where the state comes in and says, this is not working. We need more money. So they come up with the plan of child support. And for some of you out there, I know you're going to, women going to get mad and say, child support is for the kids. I'm going to tell you that you don't know the big picture. And this show is about the truth and what the big picture is. What is child support? Y'all think it's for the child? Child support is the biggest racket the government and the states have out there right now. But I just want to show y'all something. Y'all work with me for a minute. So they come in with child support and they push it as, you know, taking care of the child. Now, back 20, 30 years ago, they done took you from the house. Told you to lead a man and go over there in the project. Told you they'll give you some cheese and some food stamps and a telephone if you get away from him now, because he ain't important. You can do it by yourself. While you're there, you're free to have as many kids as you want. No restriction. They help you take the birth control, but if not, okay. So the women go out, they're a little bit more risky. They're a little bit more negligent in their thinking, and their morals, and their character, and the values that we seen back in the 50s and the 60s, where it took 6 months for you to really get in bed with a girl. I remember those. So now we're in the projects, you know, we can have kids, you know, the women can be a little bit more risky. If I get pregnant, I can take a morning after pill, I can go ahead and get an abortion, or I can go ahead and let the state take care of them. So the state come in with the child support, say, we're going to get the money, we're going to get the men to fund what we're doing for the women. So they get after the men. And they take Pookie, who's never made $1,000 in a year, and we're going to get to that, and they say, you got to pay $800 a month. Because the state been giving them this kid that you had assistance. And again, who do they use to get this information? Who do they hold responsible or don't hold responsible to get this information? They tell you, the women, the mothers, what's his name? If you want to keep getting this assistance, and if you want to keep getting this Section 8, if you want to keep getting this cheese, and if you want to continue this 100-minute-a-month cell phone, who is the name of the guy that was over here sleeping with state property? What's his name and his address? So you turn him in to the system, and the system go after him. Now, both of y'all are irresponsible. Men, you've always been irresponsible. But let's see what we're looking at. You're looking at sleeping with a woman. You know she can take birth control. If she have an abortion, that's definitely a decision that she makes. So you're looking at the fact that she's on welfare. So you know the state's going to take care of her. So you're risky too. You're like, oh, well, the state will take care of the kids. So both of y'all have the same mindset that I can't live there, but, you know, I'll pull up with my Impala with my 28s on it. I'll stay there until I get caught, but I'm going to drop a few seeds and then I'm going to break out. Some of those men that are coming down to the projects are some of the men that other women had already left to go into this project, this system that the government created. So it's just a revolving door, musical chair, so to speak. So we're getting into the child support, and everybody, the women just think it's about the kids, so they turn in the men to the system, and the system go after the men, and they tell Pookie he got to pay $1,000 a month when he never had a job to begin with. And, of course, the state wasn't screening anything with the women. They didn't tell them to stop having kids. One of the conditions was that you don't have any more kids. That wasn't one of the conditions. But there was a condition that you not live with a man and stay away from the man, because he can't live here and you get the assistance. But you can go out and have more kids. So you turn your men over to the system. You don't. The government already got you to leave them. Then they come with the child support, and then you turn it over to the system, and you think the child support is good because, you know, men should pay for their kids. I agree with you 100%. But were you responsible in procreating? No. You were in the projects on welfare, had already disconnected or already been reckless in our procreation. And you on state assistance, and you have more kids. And you have more kids with somebody that's not doing any better than you. So you in the system now. Now he in the system. Because the state wants some money from him. Well, do they want money for the kid? Y'all really think that's what it's about? This is part of the problem. Child support is not about the kid. Child support is about money for the state. Do y'all know that the government gives the state $4 to $5 for every dollar they collect in child support? That's better odds than the casinos in Las Vegas. Y'all didn't know that, huh? Okay. Part of the problem. It's a money racket. Let me give you another dimension of the money racket. So let's say Pookie go out there and he don't want to go to jail because he slept with state property, I mean a woman, on welfare. So Pookie and Byron and Jack go to court and they drag him in the system. They say, look, you got to pay for these kids. Not to mention, if you happen to live with the other kids that they were taking care of and you spent any good amount of time with them, they may have you take care of them. So you come in and Pookie in the system now, and they say Pookie got to pay $800 and Byron and Jack got to pay $800 a month for the kids. You think the child support equals government, CPS, and all those agencies, just like you think the Department of Motor Vehicles is a state agency. Just like you think the Federal Reserve is federal. Child support corporations are private corporations. Not a damn thing to do with the state other than a contract to go ahead and collect that money from you. You don't know that these judges and pensions and all that and incentives and all that comes from child support. It's better than traffic ticket money. So you turn over your men to the system. Yeah, he has to pay. He should. But I'm just telling y'all how this systemic problem goes. So you done left them. You done turned them over to the system now to get child support because you're having more kids on a system that's designed to make you better. Now he's in the system. Now they get the men in the system, and they threaten to lock him up because he done slept with somebody, some state property. And he's going to go out and someone might have jobs, or he might get 3 McDonald's jobs, or he might go kill himself because he's afraid to go to jail. To go to jail. He get in the system and he comes in and some of them might be lucky to have a good enough job to pay it. Some of them might go out, might decide to sell drugs or hustle or rob somebody just to not go to jail to pay it. And our women think it's for the kids. Sure. You get Pookie to pay $800. How much of that $800 do you get? Some of y'all know. So you get, they get Pookie to, or Byron or Jack or Bob, to pay $800 a month, and they get $3,200 a month from the federal government for getting $800 a month. And the very same so-called judges that sit on that bench, they get a piece of it for running your men through the system and making them feel like they're going to go to jail all because they slept with a woman. Meanwhile, they send you back to the ranch, to the farm, and still allow you to go and bring more victims to them. They don't give you no limit on how many kids you can have down there in the farm, I mean the project. You can go grab as many victims as you want. Just come down there and give us his name. We'll put him in the system. If he can't pay us, we're going to put him in jail. What are we going to do to him in jail? Well, we're going to slave him out for 25 cents an hour and let him build Harley Davidson motorcycles that cost $20,000. Right? But the media will go out there and tell you, well, you know, he went to jail because he was a dad. And our women seem okay with separating for some food stamps and some baloney from the fathers and their men, then handing them over to the system while still dealing with them. And then when they're in the system, you proudly say that, oh, he's in jail for child support. When the only reason why he's in jail is to fund both sides of that racket. One, if you pay it, they make four times that amount in supplements from the government. Pay it, they make 10 times that amount by getting you to participate in prison labor. Y'all seeing the picture a little bit clearer? Let me go a little bit deeper. So we know that the welfare system didn't have nothing to do with putting the family back together. It was not adhesive in any way. There was no restraint on the behavior of the women that are on it. You put all the women in one area so that the men can just come down to the nightclub, so to speak, and just pick which one they wanted. No commitment there, no marriage, no nothing. Most of the women that was on it, it's like my aunts, they stayed on it forever, welfare, Section 8, become comfortable. And they figure out that they can just stay in the system and just have a man on the side and go over and visit him, stay with him maybe, and keep their Section 8 housing. What I'm explaining to y'all is part of what our issue is. Let's go further in how they treat separation of family, which is a result of what you're seeing right now. So they go on, and after they get the men in the system, get them in jail, all their corporate-owned media sources tell you that that's a good thing that the man is in jail because he didn't pay child support, although the economy may be horrible because they collapsed that intentionally. Now you're going to jail for a debt, which is entirely illegal in this country and never has been legal. And then you add the monetary element to it, and you see that these states and these corporations are just getting paid hand over fist to do this to the men, while still allowing the women to go back to the farm and produce. Now, let's go on to the next destructive element. 70% of divorce is filed by women. There's an overall sense, you go to divorce court, you are absolutely going to lose half of your wealth. I don't know a man in the world or on this call would think otherwise. So they give the women welfare. They give them the child support, and overwhelmingly, you're going to lose on the divorce end. And don't be a man that may have had some wealth 20 years before you met the woman. She's going to get a piece of that on departure in a divorce. Another benefit to what? Disconnect from your man. Disconnect the father from the house. so. You go do divorce, and the man really can't do too much because he got to pay for you, and he can't really start another life, and he's got child support, and the women find it easier to leave than to stay. And all of this has happened from the early 50s all the way up to now. And we wonder what's wrong today. Let's talk about the violence today. Let me bring my host in. Just give me a few more minutes, if you would. So I painted this picture, which was my personal experience, by the way. Witness my mother, who was a great woman, used us as children to manipulate and control or attempt to the father, my father. I watched that. Some of y'all can relate to that. Then the system is threatening you and go to jail if you don't do this and do that, and all the while they're acting like it's about the child and it's about the family when you realize that they're making five times that much collecting every dollar from you. There was, do y'all know that there was a prosecutor, attorney general in one state that had almost $100 million in child support payments and didn't want to give it up? Right? So what is this about? Is this about downing our women? No, this is about telling you the facts. And the fact is that they're using you women to destroy the men in this country systemically. And it all started with food stamps, cheese, and bread. And today a cell phone with 100 minutes. So what happens? We have a culture of children with no male interference, no family, women that don't have to think anymore. They're a little bit reckless because they have support. Either it's going to be welfare, it's going to be child support, or it's going to be divorce. So let me give you one other element of how easy it is to destroy the family and how we got to really look at the big picture, what the big problem is. Let's give you another little scam, restraining orders. You know, they push this domestic violence. I'm not going to doubt that it doesn't happen. Human beings get into it all the time. We're human. So they start manipulating those laws. Oh, well, you know, violence is you can have verbal violence. If you call her a frog, that's abuse. Right? And they tell you to go down and get you a restraining order, and that restraining order will have that man out of the house in an hour just because you said, he called me a frog. Or the most common use is, I'm fearful. Okay? Now, this is no disrespect to domestic violence because I have a minister and I have women on my team and I've discussed this. You can look it up. The most abused law is restraining orders that women use to get the man out the house. They're making it easy for you. Just go down there and say you're scared to go home because he's angry, maybe at something he should be angry at. And maybe sometime not. For those that use it correctly, ignore what I'm saying. But the statistics say that 90% of them are bogus. Well, what happens? You go down there, they tell them to get out the house immediately. You don't even have to go through divorce. They can award her money and tell you to stay away from, again, does this sound familiar, your family, your children, and your woman for anywhere up to a year without going through a criminal process. This is what the women can do against your men and your fathers. Y'all didn't make these laws. The women, you didn't. You use them. You didn't make the laws. But your government, you know, that wants to keep the family together because they benefit from that cohesiveness, collective. Your government institute these programs. So what else happens with child support and restraining orders? You lose your civil liberties as a man. You lose the ability to protect yourself. You now have a record that can be discriminated against for the rest of your life. You can't depend on your woman being there because if you don't say something right, then she's liable to just cross the road and get the state to give her a little barn down on the farm. Y'all have to understand, what is the real enemy? Who is it? My opinion, there's two. Well, there's three. One is ourselves. The next is your media and your court system, called judicial system. So once they separate you, black and white, because all of that, all I just said, affects everybody, rich or poor, 50 cents pays $50,000 a month to somebody because he had a baby with him. Sean Perfy Combs, P. Diddy, whatever you want to call him, $30,000, $40,000 a month. Now, that's all system. Do you understand? Not married. And most of you don't understand that these laws that they apply to you just meeting a woman or a woman just meeting a man and engaging in what humans have engaged in for the life expectancy of this country is sex. You paying $50,000 a month or $1,000 a month because the state can get five times that much because they make you do it. So let's look at what else happens. You can lose your driver's license if you don't pay it. Child support now. They'll take your ability to what you think is to move around if you don't pay, not because they care about the damn kid, because they need to get the rest of that money in supplements from the federal government. So I just gave y'all four benefits that is giving to who? Not the man, because the man gets no benefit. Four benefits that goes to the woman. And what is the condition of all of those is that you do what? You separate yourself. You separate your kids from their father. You separate yourself from that man. And all women out there, I love you to death, but you use these systems many times in an oppressive nature, the same way you feed these men to that greedy system. You don't have to employ any communication no more. We don't do it. You don't have to work it out anymore. You don't have to look at the bigger picture. You don't have to maintain a lot of morality anymore. The system will help you generate fodder for this corrupt so-called court system and state and government. You just hand them over. So why am I talking about this, Brother Sharif? I talk about these things because when we come to today and we look at deterioration of communication And we fall for the propaganda that these corporate-owned media outlets want to push. They tell us how to think, when to shop, how to move, when things are good, when things are bad. A total programming. They call it TV programming, do they not? So a lot of us are raised by the TV. Our kids are raised by the TV. We have fatherless homes. We have menless women. We have promiscuity on both sides. We have mental and emotional issues due to the previous mentioned issues. And now we get into falling for what we say is a problem that is black or white. The things that I just talked about don't seem to me to be black or white. But when we look into what's going on today with violence, is it really violence? Is it more violent than we allowing the government and the media to dismantle and deteriorate the quality and value of family? What do you think is going to happen when you separate family? Are our kids going to grow up and be valuable to society when they've been absent a father? Are we of the mindset that mothers can raise children by themselves? I think if you have to do something by yourself, you will do it. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it productive. Are we to the mindset that it's okay to have mother raising the kids and that's common and that's right and exact? And if that's the case, then what are the results of that? So we come to current events and we see more political government oppression. Well, is that surprising because they've already dismantled you and had you leave your family for $236 in food stamps? And to live in a cheap part of the neighborhood. And you think the food stamps is good, but they give you the food stamps so they can give you that GMO, the food that where the chickens are walking around with one leg, they just send that to that zip code over there. They send the food they wouldn't send to the rich neighborhoods, they send it down to the hood so you can go get the food stamps and go buy it. And you think they're helping you. Well, they're helping the businesses. And all of that to get you to separate from family and separate from your men. Why do I talk to my women today? Because you are the nucleus and the thermostat of family. Nothing moves higher than the woman. We hear it all the time. We see it all the time. But why are you not understanding what is going on? Why are you not surprised that the government and the police officers and the political figures start to oppress you more because they've already dismantled you? Psychological warfare. You done created so much distance and discontent and hate and adversity between the man and the woman to where who you gonna call? Who are you going to call? So what happens is that the men come over here and they just start, I guess, liking each other, right? And the women start, you all in one area. Y'all start talking about how bad the men is and yeah, and my baby daddy is this and that. And you got a whole lot of support over there. They put you all in the same area. But we still having more kids, aren't we? So you get in that mindset, and you just get to the point where you just start looking at each other. Right? Now, you can make your own choice, but I'm just telling you what it is. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. But that's what's happening, isn't it? Men on men, women on women. I don't need you. You don't need me. I got my girl. I got my dude. Right? So what happens to our kids? And then I'm going to bring my guests in. What happens to the kids? Well, the kids have no father. You can't tell me they don't lack self-esteem. You can't tell me the women don't grow up with emotional issues, the girls, because they don't have the presence of a father. Again, the Bible mentions fatherless 44 times and mentions motherless once. Who said that the kids can grow up and be right and exact without their father? Well, if you have to, you just have to. But did you have to because mama wanted to be on welfare or wanted to have some independency from the man because that's what the government said was good? So let's look at today. Let me open up my guests. Let's talk about what's happened today. Well, we got violence. Well, what's more violent than you destroying the family? And doing it cheaply. They're not giving you a house in Hollywood to leave your husband or your family. They're giving you $236 in a coupon book of food stamps to get some what you call food. In order for you to snag and go out there and have as many babies as you want, as many kids as you want, and bring them enough men so they can put them in the system and put them to work to bring them some real money. And you think the state care about you and your kids. And how many of our women come out that system? How can you come out of a system that gives you some place to live, some food, a cell phone, some bread and cheese, and a couple of classes a year, but you never get to the point where you can exceed that situation? How can a system care about you when they give you so many weapons that you can use against a man just because you feel like it, because you're angry? Well, don't they benefit from your anger? Don't the divorce courts benefit from your anger? Don't the restraining orders benefit from your anger? The fact that you're in the project and on welfare because you're angry at something? When you get the divorce lawyers, don't they tell you don't talk to each other? When you get the restraining order, don't they tell you to leave each other alone for 6 months to a year? How is that helping? Well, we go for it every day. Then we wonder what's wrong with our kids. Well, we want to work now. Women want equal rights. I don't know how I could be equal when I just gave you those four elements as in your benefit. But now you want equal rights. Okay. Don't get me wrong. There's some men out there you need to get away from. There's some men out there that's not going to be anything. We're not talking about them. We're talking in a broader sense. Until we come back together as family and put the men back in the house and the men be presentable back to the women and we forgive all this pain of the systemic failures that I just mentioned, that's just some of them. Until we stop with this white and this black nonsense, because everything I just talked about affects black, white, brown, and purple. Everything I just mentioned to you pertains to money that this government, the state, and corporations get off of your depravity, off of your anguish, off of your pain. At the risk of you having a family. Divorce rate 70-something percent. Your problem is you. Individually, we all have problems. All so-called races, which are man-created titles. We're all one people. We all have the same problem. It's just as many white people on welfare that it is black. It's just as many trailer parks out there with white people and black people as it is anywhere else. It's just as many hoods with white and black in and anywhere else. Well, let's be real about this right here. Speaking amongst my people, got a lot of growing up to do. We got a lot of personal development to do. We don't respect each other. Ourselves, we don't value ourselves. You cannot deny that there's other cultures out there that has more value on themselves than we do. Police out there killing white people just as much as black people. You need to not be fooled by that media propaganda. I keep telling you. You falling into the black and the white trap. That the media set and the government set for you. We have failed each other. We failed our kids. We failed our parents. Man has failed women. Women has failed men. But they're giving you women all the instruments to do it, which is why I'm talking to you today. If you don't value that man, they're not going to value that man. If you don't value that father, they're not going to value that father. If you don't value your kids, how are they going to value the kids? Well, why are we growing up? 3-4 baby daddies and mamas. Why is that? Well, you tell me. So now that they divided you and your kids are growing up, they don't know what a man is. They don't know what a family is. Who do they make their God? Basketball players? The politicians? The government? Again, that's my opinion of what is happening today. I couldn't get to all of it. It would take me the entire call. But I have visitors and guests that I want to get to give me their opinions on what's going on. But we have a self problem before we can get to any issues. Sure, there's some racist people out there. Who cares? Who cares? But overall, if we don't take care of ourselves and we don't come together as a people, which obviously they benefit from being divided, then they win. My heart goes out to all of the people that suffered death at the hands of any man in a uniform and some equipment embroidered with police on it. Nobody has the authority to take life. You didn't give life. Issue of people going out and trying to put some uniform or robe higher than that of God has got to stop. There's only one God. Nobody deserves to be oppressed. But if you allow oppression right in your midst and you use some of the tools of oppression that's given to you by these governments and by these policy enforcers and by the states, you're just as guilty. Why don't you stand up for family again? Then you'll start seeing that that oppression will slowly, more quickly, deteriorate. Men, why don't you stand up, be responsible and forgiving? Because there's no doubt in my mind that the instruments I just mentioned have beaten most men to the point where they now have problems. What I see in the media now is a bunch of women protesting with no men. In fact, if you look at the TV, you'll see women on one side and men or boys on the other side. I'm going to open up these lines. We're going to talk about oppression. We're going to talk about separation, even in protesting. What does protesting do? Tearing up the neighborhood. Brother Blue Pill, welcome to Thor Radio.
Peace.
Yes, sir. I want you to come in. I'm going to open up also, try to find Brother True Freeman in here. Let me just open you up 1 minute.
Yeah, I believe.
Is your brother number in 0150? Okay, that's the Brother Red. All right. I'm going to open up the Brother Red. First of all, I want to say to all of y'all, I love all of you brothers, not because of your color, but because I love what you do. I mean, I honestly want to say I'm honored to have you here, to come together as common unity to put our message out in the way we see it. These two brothers that are on here, Red Pill and Blue Pill, are brothers I admire, and I think I'm older than them. But I admire them because these brothers have been through it. Their ear is to the street. They're from the street. They're articulate. They're well-mannered. They have a great mother. They have great fathers.
And fathers, yeah.
Okay? So you're going to be able to tell when these brothers talk, you're going to be able to tell the balance and the difference. You're going to not hear the frustration and the anger. You're going to hear them being poised. And poise is something that we have to acquire in this world because emotions is going to get you taken in a direction you don't want to go in. I also open up Brother True Freeman line, but I'm going to let the pills go in. I'm going to talk to y'all about True Freeman and bring him in. And I just want y'all to expound on whatever you want to expound on. I brought these brothers in because they don't have a mindset that this is black and white. You know, they know what it is. They come from the streets, same streets I come from, New York. They know what this is about. And they know we all have individual issues, but I'm going to let you hear from them in their own words, Pills, and just let y'all know they're twins, okay? You can't tell one from the other. I don't know. I can't tell sometimes. But very good brothers. They host KTL Radio, Know the Ledge Radio. They have KTL. I believe they have these brothers have made documentaries. I mean, they've done it all. They have a show. They've never missed the show. Very educated guests. I mean, they're pillars in this community, and I'm just really glad to have them here. But y'all go ahead, man, and y'all say whatever it is on your heart to say.
What I would like to say is that you were given an excellent summation of the cyclical nature of the issues that we are observing. You know, I want to hear you finish the whole show out with your breakdown because you have been able to verbally illustrate it in a way in which, you know, very few people have been able to target it without emotion. You know what I'm saying? So I want to definitely give you kudos for that excellent, excellent breakdown. And you paint a picture that's very hard for people to get away from. Pain is going to stick on the wall. So salute. Because if we're going to tackle something, we have to be able to identify it clearly, you know. And a lot of people are being confused about what they're seeing. You know, they think they're seeing something that they might not necessarily be seeing because media is telling them how to watch it, and how what to see and what they're looking at and how to think about what it is that they're observing. So we have to counteract that and tell our stories. You know, now is the most important time that we have to take the reins of media and be able to paint this picture ourselves. We can't trust in their media because they always are going to obscure that picture. Brother Red?
Yes, sir.
Brother Red, pleased to have you here, man. I know I have a pretty tight relationship with Brother Blue, but
yes,
always,
sir.
You know, y'all one and the same for me. Whenever he speaks for both of y'all. And it's good to have you here. It's your first time here. I know I had Blue on here, but it's great to hear your perspective. I'm an avid listener of your shows. Like Blue will tell you, I don't miss one. When I'm working, you know, I'm listening to y'all and a few others out there, but it's great to have you, brother, and I love to hear your diction on the subject matter.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I'm just honored to be on your show. I'm honored to have been in the audience to receive the like Brother Blue Pill said, the way that you articulated, you know, some of the issues that we have that have been plaguing us, they tend to get overlooked. You know,
yeah.
You were able to sum it up in an excellent summation, and I would take it even further to offer some of our editing skills and some of our, you know, some of the expertise that we may have in videography to even take your summation and animate it, you know, because I would love to see that in visual presentation. Our people are very visual. You got it. You know what I mean? But it moved me. It moved me. And I respect your professionalism. And like I said, I really feel good about where we're at as a collective. You know,
you're breaking up a little
hello?
Bit, Red. You're coming in a little bit choppy.
Let me move into a better area. You know,
okay.
I see this incident that's taking place in Ferguson, along with the multiple other situations, because we have to keep in mind that, you know, I want to send condolences, love and light to the brother Mike Brown, his family, all of the brothers and sisters who boots are on the ground in St. Louis, Missouri right now, and all other places where they're protesting. We also have to keep in mind that we have been suffering some injustices for a few years already, but more frequently this summer, there's been a lot of unjust killings of young African-American males at the hands of the police departments. So I don't want to focus on, I'm not, you know, monogamous when it comes to my grief. I want to focus on the totality, the whole. I believe that when we do that, we could really paint a bigger picture, you know? So, because like you were talking about it earlier, it's all encompassing at this point. No, it is all encompassing at this point. I feel like society is sick.
And I think that really laid the groundwork for where we need to take the conversation, and that is we've been attempting or trying to have this conversation, a larger conversation with the community, quote unquote. And by that, I mean people that have their ears open that are willing to hear a different perspective on what's taking place in this country, you know, with melanated people, and not only melanated people, but also people that are quote-unquote citizens of this country. If you're citizens of a corporation, then we have to talk about what exactly does that mean. What is the approach towards the valuation of a quote-unquote citizen of a corporation? How is this a corporation? Is it in fact a corporation? You know, is this a conspiracy theory? What proof do we have to speak to this? So when you're dealing in the corporate sense of, you know, of a societal structure, how is that corporation exactly going to act when that corporation starts liquidating itself, when that corporation goes bankrupt, when you have different monetary systems that have now come into the planet that has devalued the dollar, the lifeblood of that corporation. How is that corporation going to respond to the property that it, you know what I'm saying, that is holding that dollar up?
Right.
So when the dollar drops and we value the dollar the way that we do, a dollar that has no value, what's going to start happening to those people? When you become fourth, fifth, and sixth class citizens in a corporation, what starts happening to those people that no longer have value in the corporate, in the corporate structure? So there's certain things like that that we're witnessing, and we already have a level of devaluation amongst ourselves for melanated, carbonated black life. You know what I'm saying? We've already been put into this vicious cycle of which you've laid the groundwork to, where we devalue life. You know what I'm saying? When you are now in those projects selling those same mothers that they're talking about, crack cocaine, there's an issue that needs to be addressed that we have seemed to want to shirk from. You know, the damage has been done. We're looking at those cycles play themselves out at this particular time.
Just the fallout.
The music that we listen to, yeah, the culture that we're a part of reinforces that devaluation every single day. You know, what is a thought? How you pronounce it? A thought? What is a thought? You know?
Right.
What is sending real? Why do we take pride in our cities being murder capitals? You know, we wear that shit like a badge.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Nigga, I'm from the murder capital, nigga. Like.
Right.
All
exactly.
of these things speak to the devaluation that we have placed amongst ourselves of our community. We have effectively lost control. I'm not making it so much about us, but we all we got. You know what I'm saying? So if it's the individual, then it's the household, then it's the neighborhood, then it's the larger community, you know what I'm saying? Then it's that diaspora. Then it's anybody else that comes after that. Because you got to get that down packed. Because situation where, right, we started from the bottom, now we supposed to be here, wherever that here is. So we're trying to get to this collective place again, whether it's an individual endeavor or whether it's, you know what I'm saying, a family situation. You know, you're trying to get the family back together. We're trying to get the community back together. We're trying to get the people back together. We're trying to get the diasporic aspect of your people across the globe back together. We all supposed to be aiming to get somewhere, but we have this 800-pound gorilla in the room that we don't want to address. And that's that the economic
that's
lifeblood
right.
of who we are as a people is funded by our very own destruction that we effectively have our hands in.
Right. And
so,
that's the individual cause. I mean, but we have to understand also, in order for us to elevate, we have to elevate as one people. Everybody has a contribution to make across race, party, economic life. We're all, right now, we're all fodder. They want money. I don't care if you're white, you're black, they want your money. They want your money or your body. It's as simple as that. And the people that is doing that is media and your court system, which needs to be totally purged and cleaned. Because I don't, you know, I know people are calling, and I'm going to go to a video right quick as a small break, and I'm going to bring in True Freeman and a few other ones, because he does a lot of investigative reporting, but they called this years ago. There's certain ministers, there's certain political figures out there that was saying that this was going to happen. And I'm going to play you a video that shows you, demonstrates to you that these people have these things planned. But you break up a good point about devaluation. We have to come together as a people, because I'm telling you right now, whatever their plans are to do, it's not going to affect, it might affect one culture more than the other, but it's going to affect everybody. If they bring in so-called martial law, it's not going to be martial law for brown people or black people. It's going to be martial law for everybody, okay? Because
yeah,
they want everybody.
And, yeah. I'm not, quote-unquote, signaling out a specific group, but I am directing my conversation to speak about what we're witnessing is
sure.
a level of aggravation that's being implemented or played out on a specific group that are always or have always been associated with victimization. So let's be clear.
But, Pill, let me
you know,
ask you this. Is that just one of the triggers that they use? Because I'm going to let you listen to this video, and you're going to hear how they plan this sort of destruction. And is it really that, you know, they use that to get everybody riled up? Are they trying to elicit a reaction? Or, and you're going to listen to this man on this video, and I think you'll realize what it is. And then I'm going to bring the rest in. But I want y'all to listen to this right quick. This is video. It's about 6 minutes long, and I want us to get an idea so we can go into the next segment of what we're going to talk about. What really is it? So hold on a second.
Oh, I miss the setup, it's the setup, it's the setup. Oh, I miss the setup.
So they couldn't be from here. We have a validated customer, and every place yesterday was a different place.
But local store owners believe people from out of town are responsible for the recent heightened violence and looting.
CNN's Don Lemon is joining us now live from Ferguson. What's the mood like there, Don?
Okay. I think we're about to be arrested because we're standing on the sidewalk and you said you want to...
Move out of the way, sir! Move out of the way, sir! Move!
But this here is the foundation for this. You can't separate them. I don't know what them black robe perverts don't understand down there.
Contractors are going to come in. They'd be me. People like me, but on the other side, they're going to kill you. You're going to start seeing people. That person sitting next to you a few years from now will not be sitting there because they're going to be gone. Because somebody like me is going to come in and kill you. For all you wannabes out here who think you're the baddest thing in the world, I got news for you. You're going to meet bad. Not that bad can't be killed. But when you're talking with somebody who does this 24/7 every day of their life, they get pretty good at it.
Right.
Not somebody who just does it every now and then.
We've been standing here all day. So.
Let's go. Come on, let's go.
Okay, so that's what's happening here. So people are here, and they're standing on the... You can see what's happening. We've been standing here all day. They told us to come here. I can't move. I'm not going to resist the police officer. So I'm being pushed back by the police officer. And you can see this is exactly what the citizens have been dealing with. So we're going to... Anyway. Now you see why people are so upset here.
I've done my fair share of killing. I'm tired of it. And you're either going to go to the ballot box or you're going to go to the bullet box in the next 18 months. If you got that time. The new Constitution is all ready to go. They only need the right incident to bring it down. And they're working on that right now. We're not very far away from an event that's going to bring what you call martial law. That term will never be used, by the way.
Yep.
Emergency police powers will be.
Okay, welcome back. That was a video that I received. Matter of fact, no, I didn't receive it. Excuse me, I want to correct it. I got that from True Freeman, who I'm going to bring on Facebook. It's a video of a, I believe he's a military dignitary and a police officer. And the video was taken back in 2012. Okay, I want y'all to follow me for a minute. The gaps that you hear is because it's really a visual video and audio. So there were certain information they were giving you in between the vocals. But in this video, this gentleman was speaking at an event. I don't know who he was speaking to, some people I believe they said in Missouri. And he was... For some of you people in religion, he was prophesizing the events that you see here today. Today is August 22nd, 2014. This gentleman did this video in 2012. Did you hear what he said? Did you not hear the same events that is taking place today? Okay, so those of you on my email list, you would have got that video. He went on to say that the media is going to start showing you wars and race wars and rioting intentionally. Now, when you read the rest of the video, and I'm opening up my panel's lines, the same gentleman that was in this video that did this presentation, he started talking about his military accolades, and he had security clearances, and, you know, he was Billy Bad ASS. And he started talking about how he had a target on his head, and, you know, he shouldn't really be giving you this information, but he predicted it 2 years ago. Now, coincidentally speaking, there was a CNN video he was in with Don Lemon from CNN, and the same military guy is in a Missouri police officer uniform, and he's putting on a show for CNN and acting like he's going to arrest Don Lemon, and they're smiling, and he's, you know, throwing his little rhetoric, telling them to get back, I'm going to lock you up, and he's doing exactly what he demonstrated in his speech in 2012. And he's doing it on CNN. It's not the first time CNN has been caught in the middle of lies and propaganda, false flags, y'all name it. But this is the true enemy, in my opinion, is these type of media sources that will go to any length to cause chaos. And you heard him say, the new Constitution is ready. They just need one event. So when I ask the pills, is it black and white? Well, they'll just use whoever they can use. Doesn't matter. They'll use black. Well, they just had, and I'll let True Freeman talk about that. If y'all see the difference, and this is where I say difference, when I have to separate our behavior culturally, they had a Bundy ranch situation not too long ago. And the Bundy ranch was with so-called white people. There was a problem with the gentleman that had, you know, some land, and he was obviously or allegedly encroaching on some government land with his cattle, and he tried to take his redress to what our problem is, the court system, and we're going to get to that too. And he went to the court system, and the court system, of course, sided with the oppressive government, and they came, and I believe they just snatched up his cattle. So he called his people, or the people heard about it, and they came, and y'all should see the video. These men were out there. They came to support the man, and they were on horses. They had rifles, sidearms. They had snipers. They had militia out there. I mean, they rolled up like a John Wayne movie, and the cops were at the gate. No bullets fired, no tear gas. They walked up like men. They said what was going to happen, what's not going to happen. They didn't riot. They didn't tear down the community. They wasn't picketing. They just said, look, this is what it's going to be and what it's not going to be. You need to leave. Now, you know, police was out there. They didn't have as many tanks. They didn't call in the National Guard. They didn't call in the troops. They backed off, and they went home, right? So then you hear some stories afterward that said, oh, well, those Bundy Ranch people said that they were going to put women and children out there to be shot first. You heard all that garbage, that media propaganda. There was no women and children out there. Okay? And if we compare or do a comparative analysis to both of those situations, I want y'all to tell me what you see. We see Missouri and we see the Bundy Ranch situation. We see one particular people that comes together in one way and another people that comes together in a different way. And the results are adverse and totally different. So before I bring True Freeman in, if y'all give me 10 seconds, pills, on that, what you think about that comparative analysis of those two situations, and then I'm going to bring in Brother True Freeman.
Yeah, I think that what you're illustrating is purposeful in regards to establishing the fact that there has to be a continuation of a thread. You know what I'm saying? There's a template that's already set in place to say, you know, what, when I say rioters, what are you immediately associated with? Quick. Can you name me one European riot in America that you know of?
No, I don't.
Okay, then. Again, like I said, I don't want to make it an issue of quote-unquote race, but there's an expected response that comes out of melanated angst. You know what I'm saying? Like the brother Looper right. always says, that pressure that they put coal or carbon under is expected to react a certain way. That's predictable.
Right.
That's needed, you know what I'm saying, for these things to do what they do. Because it's an image that they're
exporting. So what you're saying is that all coaches have a vested interest. You're saying that all coaches have a vested interest. If you listen to that military personnel say, we just need one catastrophe situation to bring this whole thing down. So that means we have to band together because we do have different sensitivity levels. We do have different responses. Some black and white and brown have to join and be like, look, we have to see what they're doing. And they're going to use you because they know you have this type of response. So you need
to. You know what they would have called it? You know what they would have called it if it was all Europeans? And again, I do not mean, I'm not taking those shots. I'm just setting an example. They would have called it Occupy Ferguson. You understand?
Right. Right. You're right.
But because our
right,
business
brother.
Is involved. It's a
That's
riot.
Right.
It's looters.
Yeah.
You know, it's niggas
yeah.
out of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was their
I see
children,
that. It's,
it
it's a behavioral
Occupy
thing. Yes.
Ferguson. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they wouldn't have brought Anonymous forward to do it. They'd have brought Eric Snowden forward, you know what I'm saying, to say, oh, I already had this information on my hard drive. Let me pull a file up.
Right. You know? So in other words, you're saying it's not race. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with behavior. What is our behavior? Now, we don't know. We all subject
yeah,
to behave
yeah,
differently
we're at,
when we're
yeah.
being oppressed. But I hear a lot of the reports pills that, you know, there's a lot of the instigating out there by people that are from other areas. There's a lot of looting that's really not being done, but that's what's being perpetrated by the media. So I hear that the response is not. But I want to talk about one thing, and I'm going to bring in True Freeman. His line is open, and I'm going to introduce him in 2 seconds, I promise. We're going to talk about what we need to focus on, and that's our political environment and our corrupt court system. Let's just be honest with it. Let's just keep it real. Like, everybody wants this person to go to jail and this person to get arrested. Well, come on. I mean, we had Trayvon Martin. We have, and for those of you that, you know, that we look at the OJ situation, I might believe differently than anybody. I don't care who you are and what color you are. I don't think you should kill anybody. And I wasn't cheering for OJ or cheering for anybody that met the hand of death from another individual. If OJ was guilty, he deserved to be in jail. But why did people cheer with OJ is because the people hate the system because the system is oppressive. The system is manipulative. The system is not right. functioning correctly. And we all can agree with that, black, white, green, and purple. So it's a system problem. So you want the police officer to get arrested. Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you really think that he's going to get off? He's going to go to jail? Like, and what good does that do? Does that bring that young man's life, any young man, white, black, does that bring any of them back when they go into the system and they're able to manipulate the system? True Freeman, come on in, brother. First of all, I want to say welcome to Thor Radio. You've never been on the show. You know, True Freeman, for everybody that doesn't know, when I was on the other network, True Freeman, I never formally met him. You know, I was doing my show on the other network. I since, you know, left there and came over to have my own house. And True Freeman has been out there, and I've never really paid attention to him until lately. Well, after he made a video about me. And the video was more so another effect of certain communities is that we don't respect each other. We don't support each other. So True Freeman made a video. And the video was, his brother Sharif full of shit. And they said, oh, man, True Freeman. I said, well, who's True Freeman? He said, he made a video about you. And I listened to it, and the video was just clearly in support and really offered nothing but accolades for my subject matter and what I was doing, and he was supportive, and I've since listened to him, and, you know, I have to tell y'all, if there's any man out there, brother out there, that I feel that's as honest and steadfast and genuine in his application of his science, other than the pills on his phone, I would say it's True Wolfman. I mean, the brother really, I think his heart is a little bit too big. Okay, he's went out there and he does some real good investigative journalism, so to speak, if we wanted to put it into the words of our corporate entities. I mean, he's taken that bull by the horn to alert the people about law. Now, and if you want to listen to our government, who takes our women and, you know, gives them a buck of cheese to leave the men and the fathers, our government would paint men like him as sovereign citizens. And that really kind of bothers me or makes me chuckle sometimes, and it angers me sometimes. If you want to put a title on somebody, a young man that is not out there gangbanging, he's not slinging, he's not making demoralizing rap songs, he's out there studying law, and he's enforcing that law, and you want to call him a sovereign citizen, which is an oxymoron. You want to put labels on activity when we have a court system that's been oppressing people for hundreds, thousands of years, and has gotten progressively worse. And you want to say that somehow, you know, this group of people, some of which are out of hand, don't get me wrong. I mean, so, Brother Freeman, come on in, man, and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about the subject matter. I know I've said a lot. The pills had a lot to say. And just come in and introduce yourself to Thor Radio.
All right. What's going on, brother? Appreciate opportunity to be in your presence, as well as the blue pill and red pill, which I don't believe I know, but I will be looking into. And the others that's on the call waiting to come in. And this, you know, this is what we need to be doing, this building. But, you know, those of you who don't know me, I'm True Freeman. You can Google me or YouTube. Put it in YouTube. You'll be able to find it out. And, you know, not too much about myself. I want to, you know, just address a couple of things in regards to, like, you know, what's really going on and some of the things you said. I kind of knew you were going to play that video. When you said that you're going to play this about him telling us, I said, oh, man, I bet you he great play that video, because when you watch that, the guy who put that video together, I mean, he or she, whoever it is, they done some wonderful work, because just as you said, this same guy that was what I would think to be someone who was doing some type of seminar trying to get people to, you know, listen to him, you know, I mean, it's iffy as to what his intentions was, but when you go back, that was a couple years ago, and now when you bring it up to today and you see that CNN news clip and him out there, and I believe the news anchor's name is Don Lennon, the whole thing was set up. It's staged. The event that happened in regards to his death was not staged. I can't say that was staged, but the reaction that they are getting, they planned it to happen like that. And we keep trying to separate ourselves. You mentioned separation. We keep trying to separate ourselves from what they call other races of people, which in turn is just, what is your status? People, we're looking at it as a color, you see, and it's not a color thing. It's a power and money thing. It has nothing to do with color. But because of our attitudes and our personal problems with ourselves, we are the most vulnerable, so to speak. This is how I would look at it.
Right.
So they're using us more than they're using anyone else. But
that's right.
The problems that we have, and I feel it boils back to us. We have to think it boils back down to self, because we have to look at the family structure, as you was talking about before. There's no fathers in the home, very few, if any. The mothers are in the streets or in the club or on Facebook or YouTube posting a new shake they butt video. Men in the streets basically looking out for the best interests of the youth that basically do not have both parents at home. So we, you know, we always talk about we have a community. We don't have a community. We have everybody out here for themselves. And it's not build a black community because, like you said before, it's white people in the projects too. White people on food stamps, Hispanics on food stamps, just about just as equal as we are. They just talk about the black community more. And they do it for a reason. It's called propaganda. And we get riled up on these different types of things, such as what's happening in Ferguson, and not using it to our advantage. You see what I mean? We don't go out, like I think it was the Blue Pill that said about the protesting thing. Well, you mentioned the Bundy situation, and he said something about what would they call it, and it wouldn't be a riot. It would be a Occupy or something. He said if it was the white people in Ferguson, I think he said it would be called Occupy Ferguson versus the riot.
Right.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Based up off the actions of those, that specific class of people. And we have to take a look at ourselves and look how we react. They're down there looting, all different types of things, but what people are not realizing is some of them people were paid to do that. A lot of those people are from cities and states. They're not showing you the clip where a Blood and a Crip was standing right next door, right next to each other, stopping the looters from destroying the businesses. They didn't blast that all over the.
That ain't blast
you see,
that.
All for it, you know. So that's where we have to do things like this and come together and try to work in the best interest of everyone instead of the best interest of self. But we do have to get self in our own house together before we can go out and try to change the world, you know, or change our outlook. But it's not at all a racial thing. It's not it is, but it's not, because it's a catch-22. Race equals status. What is your status? You see, they want a more powerful status. They want to be more dominant than anybody. They want to control the people on a mass level. It's basically, I call it the new modern day form of slavery, and it has nothing to do with the skin complexion, and that's what people don't realize. But I feel that us as a melanated class of people, I feel that we are basically giving them practice so they can end up implementing what they're trying to do on the community as a whole, not solely the black race. If that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. You're bringing up some great topics. And you know, people like True Freeman and the Pills on hand, I'm going to bring in the Queens and I'm going to bring in my team because, you know, we discussed some of these matters on yesterday. And we talked about how our women have to come back to being the nucleus and the thermostat of the family. We all grew up with great mothers, and my mother was great. She used some things that was at her disposal that the government was able to put in their hand, and that was manipulate my father. I remember sitting on the couch, all five of us, snorkels on, mittens, you know, walking around the rim of the hood, okay, waiting for daddy and mom on the phone arguing why you're not here at 5 o'clock, it's 5:02, so... You know, I went through that. Why was that? Because the government had given my mom, you know, some what she thought was independence, some food stamps, some cheese, a place that she can call hers, and we have to understand how important electricity and magnets are both needed. Male and female are both needed, and we got to stop abusing. And what I'm saying right now is men really can't put the type of abuse a woman can put on a man these days, the way the government has designed it. And because emotions are involved, there are some things that our women shouldn't be able to do and really shouldn't do, but it's going to take discipline. There's not men out there that run down and say, my woman beat me upside the head, but women will go down there and do it quick. Men are not going to do it anyway. They're not going to do it if they can. Do you understand? So this is what I'm talking about. There's certain things that the government puts because they know emotional people. There's certain reactions they know if they go shoot a black man because they know the black people are going to be like, and you're going to start rioting. What are you rioting for? First of all, the pickets and the marching, I mean, come on, that's like a beatbox.
That's like a jukebox. That is old. We have to educate ourselves. We have to learn this system. We have to learn how to cost them when they do these things. True Freeman is one that deals with that. Yes, sir.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
One, I want to make a comment about what we were speaking about in regards to looting and rioting. From my understanding, my observation, and me talking to people that were on the ground, only one store necessarily, you know, they broke out in a riot and they burned down the Quick Mart or the Quick Trip, because that was what they thought at the time was the point of origin of where the complaint came from that led to this young man being murdered. So how is somebody going to be going and doing business and you know, in this place, what they felt was the origin point of, you know, the young boy getting killed? So they like, it's no need for the store to be in this community no more. They burnt it down. But I'm led to find out later on that that wasn't the origin point. Now, the origin point was a liquor store, like the brother Freeman is talking about. I watched this store on live stream. They were looting this store, right? And people from the neighborhood, Bloods and Crips, got together and they guarded outside of the store. And they wasn't allowing no looting because they said the store's part of our neighborhood. This is where we shot to be destroyed. So they stood up for that store, you know, and there was other people that came into the community that was looting a nail salon, a nail shop. So we're like taking this out of context about the looting and the rioting. Like the business district that we're talking about is no more than like two or three blocks. They didn't tear that whole strip down. They hit a store or two. And how do we expect our people to express themselves, whether it's misguided or not, based on the diet that they're eating? And I'm talking about not only what they're eating in their stomach, what they're seeing with their eyes, what they're taking in with their ears, what they've been programmed with for the first 7 years of their life. That program becomes them. So when they've looked at TV, when they've seen ways in which our ancestors have responded to you know, the angst and things of that nature, you know, this is the program that they're running off. This is America. This is what they show you. We haven't given these children no alternative. Every night, you know what I'm saying? They're blowing L's, they're drinking, you know, and then they have these images in their mind that when it's time to turn up, you tear some shit up. This is what they've been programmed to do. And we participated and stood aside and watched them, you know, and now we're pointing fingers and shit. Like, what do you expect them to do? You expect them to push legislation? You expect them to put a fez on and get into the black laws all of a sudden? I don't understand why we are so, like, baffled and surprised by. I'm surprised they ain't tearing more shit up. Not because I wanted it, you feel me? But the social dynamic calls for it. This is the society that we live in. This is the indoctrination. So, again, you said it's not about race, and I'm saying everything that you're laying out to me, ways in which we were acculturated based on welfare and the things that the government implemented in our neighborhood, you know, calls for a response that's directly related to us. Now, I don't have too many European friends that are on welfare, and maybe you have or somebody else on the phone does, but can you tell me, is their story with their women the same as our story?
That's true.
Well, if I could respond to that, I would say no. I would say no, and it's probably more black that may be or my more minorities that may be on welfare and things like that. I wasn't specifically
not just so much on welfare. I'm saying the welfare situation is something that, you know, statistics have shown, you know, we equally, even I think they said even more Europeans are on welfare, you know. But what I'm saying is that the social dynamic in their homes in regards to the treatment of the women, how the women were being targeted, how the women were being singled out, you know, for procreation and left and things of that nature, the psychological damage that was put on the women, was it the same in European households? Do they have devaluation of the woman in their society? Is their family structure broken? Do they have a nana at home? Do they know who their grandparents are? Even if the father's not home, do they know who their uncle is? Do they know who their grandfather is? Is he part of the social
structure, right,
part of the community? You know?
Right.
I'm saying, is
and
that
it's, you know,
dynamic?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, no, we're listening to you, brother.
No, I didn't want to cut your wisdom, and that's true. I mean, you bring in a very good point, and we're demonstrating the different issues we go through as a people, but still, when it all comes down to it, we didn't want the Bundy Ranch people to get into no beef that was going to start, you know, any type of martial law or anything else, too. So I'm sure if we realize from what this military personnel officer said on the video, we have to understand we all collectively have an interest in coming together as a people, because the thing is to cage the people, is to oppress the
right
people as a whole. And they're going to do it by separation of race, separation of the family, separate whatever they're going to use it all,
but
to come down,
yeah,
and really,
yeah,
bring the umbrella down on the people.
I think while that is also true, I think that if we skirt around the topic at hand, we're ignoring the facts that are on the table. The same time that we're looking at these escalating incidents, we can point to a quote-unquote sovereign citizen in Texas that just got finished. He's like, yo, I'm a sovereign. My entire apartment complex is sovereign as well. He cordoned off the entire complex, held people hostages, and fired on the police. You understand? He had an arsenal where he fired on the police. Look it up. You know what they did?
Wow.
They came in there, and they snatched him up. They ain't body him. You know what I mean? They grabbed him up. He's in jail now. They didn't respond to the army vehicles. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, let's stop making excuses for them. They do not have the same response. I got four or five articles right in front of me right now that speak of the same level of response that they have towards people that are non-melanated, right, that have weapons that fire upon the police aggressively, you know what I'm saying, or respond aggressively for that matter, and they're accosted, they're apprehended, you know, and they live in to see another day. They are afforded the right for their case to be heard before a judge and for a jury of their peers to be, you know what I'm saying, the determining factor as to whether or not they're going to be going to jail. Seeing that, and it's for a reason, I don't want us to, you know, to miss that reason, and we're not being racist if we identify what that reason is. I could just say metaphysically they need a melanin catalyst to get certain things started. That's the way the spell is working. And that's just,
right,
you know, looking at it from that point, that's not me saying that, oh,
yeah,
this is only black and white. No, it's a trigger. It's a trigger.
Right.
And then,
right, well, go ahead,
True,
and comment on that, and then
society.
Let's talk about the fear. Let's talk
right,
about
let me,
the fear.
Me.
What's the problem? Go ahead, True. And then I'm going to bring
okay,
in Gilly
well,
folks, and then I'm going to let my – I got to bring in my women and give them about 20, 30 minutes because they waiting. They done texted me and said, I know you're not going to see what you
right,
said and not let the queens come in. So y'all go ahead.
That's what's up, brother. But I just wanted to say something. I would like the brother, man, to take another look. I'll have a video coming out to somewhat break down that article to what I got out of it in regards to that sovereign citizen, the white guy you talking about took over the apartment complex, so on and so forth. Man, that guy's an agent. There are more white so-called sovereigns than there are of the melanated race.
That's
when it
true.
Comes,
I agree with that.
This in term or this freedom movement or whatever you want to call it, they're really not worried about us. And I'm going to say this and then you can, you know, get to the ladies. And I'm going to explain why they're not worried about us. We have not shown that we would use force against them if necessary. We do not go out armed, organized to protect ourselves and each other. The Europeans do. They're not really worried about us. Why are they pitting us against
right.
each other? It's the white
That's
people
right.
they really worried about, because those are going to be the real individuals that get out when the stuff hits the fan. They will be out there defending themselves against the government. They are well-armed. They're not playing.
That's right.
They just as stocked up as the government. And we, you know, it's a lot of us that are stocked up and so on and so
forth. Oh, yeah.
But we're not organized. You're in California. You're in Georgia. You're in Mississippi. You're, you know, somebody else is here.
Oh, yeah.
We're not organized. They're really not worried about us. What they're, what I believe they're doing, they're using the movement between the black community, where we have woken up to who we are and who we are not. And they, I feel that they believe we're going to soon band together and realize that we need to unite with the rest of
there
the free
go.
People,
there
you know,
go.
So
that,
to
that,
speak.
Now, that's the golden nugget. And I see a concerted effort on the media and government to make sure that black, white, and brown don't come together. And that's the – you said
yeah,
you hit it right
I mean,
on the head. They don't want
it's
us to come together.
Nine,
now,
all
our Europeans have an affinity for history. Okay, they have an affinity for history, which is why they'll take up arms real quick. Okay, they have a history with arms more than we do as dark people. So
it's called post-9/11. It's called post-9/11.
There you go.
You know, I was in court, standing on my square, you know, filing my affidavit on September 10th, 2001. So I was in the court. I know the change. I know the atmosphere of how the court system changed. I know that everything that they implemented was to stop more from stepping up and waking up and unifying with the quote-unquote sovereigns at that time. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know what happened exactly. A lot of people came into afterwards and they're seeing the aftermath, and they don't understand how they're spinning this wagon around after 13 years. They don't understand
right.
the systematic approach that's being implemented to shut down who and what you are. So when we step back and we say, it's not necessarily a thing about race, granted, but like you said, it is dealing with status. It is dealing with, you know, people standing on their square and exercising what they feel is their quote-unquote right to exercise. But at the same time, we're saying that they're not worried about, you know, melanated quote-unquote sovereigns, but they're worried about the Europeans. But I'm saying their response and their reaction to them do not show that. They're backing down when it comes
right.
to that. They're not showing up with tanks when it comes to them. They're not showing up with the militia.
Right.
I mean, with the military, paramilitary industrial complex when it comes to them. You know
right,
what you're
talking about with the white people, right? Right.
Yeah. So it's
that's my point. I think we on the same.
Terrorist, if
I think we're just saying it different ways because one thing.
I don't
right.
necessarily think so. I'm saying if they designated them as terrorists, which they have, right? If the sovereign is a terrorist, some of the excuses for even implementing this whole paramilitarization of the police force in small counties and small territories is because of sovereign citizens. It's because that they
right.
knew that their war was going to become domestic at one point, and because they have a plan and agenda to crush that movement. But what I'm saying is when you see them stand up and when you see them respond to the local authorities, the local authorities' response is not the same as what you see in Ferguson. You know
right,
saying?
And that was my example. That was not to cut you off, but let me say that this will top it off. That's what I was saying. That's my point. And one of the things I believe is the reason is because those white people unite and stand together, and they really have a cause.
There you go.
And we don't.
And we need to learn from that. We need to. That's why I said we need to come. Look, everybody need each other's skills. Y'all understand what's happening here. This is big government. This is politics. It's not white and black. They're going to pick us apart. Well, they're picking apart the women. They picked apart the kids. Kids are fatherless. The men are over here hating the women because of what the women did. The women hating the men because they have a reason to, maybe, or maybe systemically they've been given a reason to. We're having with that. I want to transition. I got to get my women in. I'm trying to get Gilly Polk in. Gilly, you need to
Brother
call
Sheree,
back
me,
in because every time
you.
I open up your line, it
let
closes. So
let me make one more quick point, Brother Sharif, if
sure,
that's okay.
Go ahead, brother.
To prove what I'm saying is look at Chicago. Let's look at Chicago. Let's look at the gangs in Chicago, and let's look at the police that refuse to go into certain neighborhoods because they know what those gang members who have united as one. It's a small-knit group, but
yeah,
they are
yeah.
afraid of those gang members. Now, if we can get the mentality, the willingness to stand firm and do what needs to be done of those gang members and teach them how to redirect their energy and what they're doing and hurting other people, their own, they can take that and direct it somewhere else. The police are scared as you know what of them. Why? Because they stick together as a knit group, the Crips, the Bloods, whatever it may be, and if the police come over there and they outnumbered, they're going to get given the business.
Okay, I'm going to bring Gilly in, but let me say something to that. Let me just say something right quick to that. You know, I was talking to Brother Amin the other day, and again, this is just, we don't advocate any violence here. We're not talking about violence, but again, we have to deal with the issue that's before us, and that's oppression by anybody. Nobody with a uniform or robe has the authority to take one of God's people off of this earth. They didn't put them on this earth. They didn't put this earth here. Some of them think they did, but that is not correct. But I was talking to Brother Amin, and we were talking about, I said, Brother Amin, I said, you know, this stuff is bothering me with this violence that's going on. He said, man, he said, Brother Sharif, you don't know up here in Jersey they're having a problem because the Crips and the Blood and the gang members and the MS-13, they done banded together, and they're killing police officers. I said, you lying.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm dead serious. He said, in Jersey, they're having a problem. The gang members are like, enough of that. You're not going to be killing us, shooting us down, and they're having a problem with that. I said, wow. I said, now, is this the type of war that you want? I mean, come on now, really. But in looking at it, the banding together of people is what's going to stop this. And we have to come together, not violently, because, True Freeman, you ain't promoting, or the Pills, they're not promoting any violence. But at some point, you're going to get to a level to where what else are you going to be able to do? I would rather you pick up a book, learn the law, learn what a citizen is, learn what a police officer is, learn what a court is, learn what a judge is, and let's start learning the system and taking back the system. Because whatever happens, if we can't get justice in the system, then the only thing you can resort to is violence. And we're not getting justice in the system. The system is oppressing us when the system is supposed to be there to balance out truth, okay? And they're not doing that. So that's one thing that we have to deal with. And then we have, you know, we don't know our young men, although they're out there on the front line, these youth don't care anymore. We have to get to them and start educating them and start knowing what to present to them. You know, I was thinking of this, and I'm going to bring Gilly in. I was thinking of this when I was looking up the day. I was looking at the young men, and I was looking at the gang members, and I said, man, you know, if they can just be educated on what to do. But I was listening, I was looking at the gentleman in New York that got choked. I forget his name, and God bless. God bless to his family. Yeah, and I looked at that incident, and I said, man, now come on. Oh, he was selling a cigarette. This man had to die because he was selling a cigarette? And let's just say if that's the issue or not. That was the reason. But you have to right. – this is what it's coming to, that little bully guys in uniforms got to sit up here and choke people and beat a woman on the side of the road and shoot an unarmed man at time after time after time and threaten to shoot journalists up there in Missouri. I mean, what's really the problem? What's good? Like, what is the problem? The problem is I think we've let this go – too long, and we're not hurting them economically, okay? And when we keep going, we keep voting. We keep playing this political doggone game. I mean, you know, my parents and them was voting. I was like, well, tell me, what have you accomplished voting? And what one dude has come in and done anything that's increased the value of anybody? Like, this is a joke when you think of these politics. I'm like, if y'all not see, just like CNN, that clip that we just did, how they put that together. That's how they put politics together. So, you know, Gilly Pope, come on in, man, and chime in, man. Give your opinion on any one of the subject matters. We touched a bunch of them, but I've never met you. I heard you over there on True Freeman's show. I really don't know you personally, but if True Freeman says you're a good dude, I'm going to trust that you are. Man, welcome to Thor Radio, and go ahead and chime in, brother, at your will.
Peace. Yeah, I was on the front line up in St. Louis, and you're right, them brothers don't know law, and a lot of those issues that them brothers have up, and to go back to what y'all was saying earlier, as far as the white people are on the front lines. When they was bombing them with tear gas, them white people was
yes.
going off.
Yes.
So I mean,
yes,
I don't have a whole lot of complaints as far as the white people,
right.
Because there was a man that came from Nevada whose son
was shot and killed by the police. He ended up suing in Nevada, but he's the one that's getting all of them white folks on the line rallying and letting them know that this shit could happen to their kids too. So I feel where you're coming from, but a lot of the problems that they have up there is because they're economically deprived up there. And so it's easy to pick on the people that don't have the finances to deal with it, deal with issues that they have on hand. You know, they don't care about them. I mean, it's just a small section of St. Louis that they, you know, why not pick them first and figure out, you know, because, you know, one of the laws of nature is cause and effect. If we try this here with them, then we'll be able to dictate how it happens over here in Chicago. You know, because you notice they ain't went to Chicago like that. I mean, they got FBI that now, but, you know, I think it has, and then I think it has a lot to do with another thing. I think the reason why they kill these young boys, body organs. I mean, because if
you... I was going to touch on that. I didn't get a chance to get to it. You struck up another conversation, and I don't think a lot of people know about this underground body organ scam that's going on.
I mean, if you look how they shot him, shot him on one whole side of his body, left all his organs open. And if you go back to the Trayvon Martin, his body organs wasn't done either. I mean, Brother Dick Gregory talked about that. So, I mean...
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues that
if
we
y'all
got
would
there.
Google,
I mean,
if y'all would Google, I think I got this from the Pills on the show a couple of months ago. I believe I did get it from the Pills because, I mean, they do journalism. I'm telling you, between the Pills and True Freeman, if y'all want news, y'all need to go see them brothers and listen to their shows. They're going to give you investigative journalism. But there was a pill. You would know about this, too, because I know I got it from you. There was a rabbi, some politicians that was involved in New Jersey, and a body part ring. Tell us about that for a couple of minutes.
They snatched up 44 individuals in a sting out in New Jersey. This was some years ago, and they stumbled upon a organ trafficking ring that stretched all the way back to Israel, who, of course, we know are knee-deep in the organ trafficking business. So, yeah, this goes back to what I'm talking about in terms of valuation. When if people lose a certain value in society, but there's another value for you, like you said, the government has a level of value for the family in regards to what they can do with the child. Government has a value that they can do with the birth certificate. You know, government or these shadow government organizations or entities have another value that they can do with your organs. So we're losing the value of what we view in terms of, oh, you know, melanin, a gram sells $353 a gram, and that's more than coke. So when you lose the value of who and what you are, but everyone else on the planet, shit, even off the planet, sees your value, you know, then there's going to be a mass feeding that's taking place, you know. And
and I just have to submit to you for everybody to give you some education. That's right.
Huh?
To give you some education, a lot of us sign up to be organ donors. Where do we sign up? Through the private Department of Motor Vehicles that most of y'all think is a state agency, but it's a private corporation, and you sign to be an organ donor, and you don't think the DMV get paid over having you do that? We have to start looking at education and knowing where they're making this money. You think the prison system is about you doing wrong? They're making money hand over fist, municipal bonds, backdoor. I mean, just go listen to True Freeman. They'll tell you where they're making the money. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. They don't give a damn about who you harmed or anything else. They're making money, and I'm talking about millions and billions of dollars with the court system. We got how many lately? How many politicians? Politicians that was pushing for gun suppression caught selling guns. Their state representative in California. Judges that took bribes to put youth in a prison that was built by some attorney. Now let's talk about this for 1 minute. And Gilly, you jump in on that. Talk about this for 1 minute. They're quick to label people sovereign citizens and say that, you know, what is sovereign citizens? Well, some people that have a belief in their individualism. Okay, a lot of it is based on history. And why is the people so angry at the system because the system is oppressive. That's why. We can traffic tickets when you're not involved in traffic. Well, we know that. Okay, we know they make billions of dollars on that. Well, we know that. Most people don't know. But let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at the ignorance of the people. And when I say ignorance, I don't mean that in a demoralizing way. But if they're out here and most people don't know what law is, they don't know what a citizen is, they don't know what a person is, they don't know what an individual is, they don't know what a state is, they don't know what traffic is, they don't know what commerce is, they don't know what a driver's license is. But let's look at it from a whole. If all of the people, by and large, are not educated, then we have juries that are impaneled every day. And these courts have plausible deniability because they're using the people as jurors, and the jurors are delivering convictions that, based on, they don't even know what the hell they're convicting on. They don't know what the law is. They don't know what a gun is. They don't know what a firearm is. They don't know what a person is. They don't know what a statute is. They don't know what a code is. They don't know what a law is. They don't know the Constitution, and they're ruling every day, and the system is using you, not explaining to you what it is, and you're getting convicted by a jury of what? Your peers. And your peers are ignorant. So that's one problem. Okay? So let's look at the other side. The system is overall in a great deal corrupt. And we want to put labels on sovereign citizens, but like y'all know, my subject matter is debt. Okay? And I sent out articles to my listeners and my people that there was two law firms that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau went after, just two law firms that they sued and sued civilly, some of them criminally, right, and said they were responsible between just two law firms, one state, two different states, for 625,000 illegal foreclosures. 625,000 illegal foreclosures. 625,000 people were displaced illegally using the court system, and they were put out in the street by attorneys licensed in front of a judge. And y'all tell me you want to label somebody sovereign citizens, or you want to bring the National Guard in a small city when 625,000 people were oppressed doing some paper terrorism in a court? Come on, y'all. Speak to that, Gilly.
Well, the way I look at the situation is like this, you know. You probably don't know a whole lot about me. The way I got into the system is because of child support. They kind of, believe me, I got my ass whooped in child support. But with that being said, I knew that the attorney that I had wasn't doing nothing for me, so I had to figure out how this situation works. And that's how I got into this whole studying law situation. But everything that they do, is they take it from us. And like the driver's license, let's talk about the driver's license. The driver's license came from Noble Drew Ali, because that was our ID at one time to identify ourselves as Moors. Then you talk about the food stamps and the free the free food, the free cheese they used to give us. That came from the Black Panthers. So everything that we do, they find a way to make money off of it. And the more they make, the more they want. Yeah, money they make, the more they want.
All about the money. All about the money. Yeah. Cheap labor. Putting you in prison, cheap labor. These corporations, Walmart I think is one of them, a couple of other corporations, they make billions of dollars off prison labor. So they want to put you in jail. You think they're putting you in jail because you're doing something wrong? No, they're putting you in jail because you're working for 25 cents an hour. And you're building Harley Davises, and you're raising. I watched an article, Blue Pill, where pills. Oh, I watched a show the other day how some farmers were up and they had a farm near the jail, and the jail, the prison, they had made into a factory, which they do with a lot of them, and they were breeding fish, trout and catfish and all that inside of the prison, and the farmers were like, we can't keep up with the prices because they were only paying the prison inmates 25 cents, 50 cents an hour. They were selling the fish so cheap to where it put the farmers out of business. This is the kind of nonsense we have going on. Then I read an article recently I shared on my show where, you know, they want the, what is it, private corporations Corrections of America, the system, the private company that serves personnel, that offers personnel to the state for the jail system. They said, look, we want y'all to take over the jail. And they said, they asked the private corporations of America, I believe that's the name, and they said, well, we'll take it over if you can promise us that it's going to be 90% full. This is what they said. So you want to think again why we have an uptick in police presence? It's all about the money. But let me transition. I'm going to bring my queens in, my women. I appreciate you, gentlemen. I'm going to mute you out just for a minute. I'm going to bring you back in, True Freeman. Let me get the women because I know they chomping at the bit. They want to get in here, and they want to be able to have their Unique and Lori and Layla and my minister, Rudy. They're going to either cuss me out about what I said or they're going to sit up here and give you their personal stories because I'm sure they all can relate. So you brothers just hold on for a minute. I'm going to just moot you out for now. I'm going to bring you back in. But I'm going to let you listen to one more video just as a small. And we got 18 minutes left in the live stream, so you need to call in 657-383-0332 to continue. But I'm going to play on another form of propaganda from the media. And let you listen to this black-white thing on heat. This is Melissa Harris Perry from MSNBC, and this is her monologue today or yesterday at some point. And right after that, I'm going to bring in the women and let them chime in and give us their position.
In the past decade alone, January 24, 2004, Timothy Stansberry, Brooklyn, New York, unarmed. November 25, 2006, Sean Bell, Queens, New York, unarmed. January 1, 2009, Oscar Grant, Oakland, California, unarmed. January 29, 2010, Aaron Campbell, Portland, Oregon, unarmed. July 18, 2011, Alonzo Ashley, Denver, Colorado, unarmed. March 7, 2012, Wendell Allen, New Orleans, Louisiana, unarmed. September 14, 2013, Jonathan Farrell, Charlotte, North Carolina, unarmed. July 17, 2014, Eric Garner, Staten Island, New York, unarmed. August 9, 2014, Michael Brown, Ferguson, Missouri, unarmed. In the past decade alone, these men and hundreds of others have lost their lives to police. Local police report to the FBI, killing at least 400 people a year. From 2006 to 2012, a white police officer killed a black person at least twice a week in this country. This brings us back to Ferguson, Missouri. According to a report in the Daily Beast, in 2009, police officers charged a man for property damage because he bled on their uniforms while they arrested him and allegedly beat him bloody. Ferguson, Missouri, where it took 6 days to release the name of an officer who shot an unarmed teenager to death. Ferguson, Missouri, where police released images of someone who might be Michael Brown involved in a store robbery, and then hours later said the robbery had nothing to do with why Michael Brown was stopped by the police officer who killed him. Ferguson is just outside St. Louis, Missouri, the place where, as historian Blair Kelly reminded us this week in The Root, Dred Scott sued for his freedom on the grounds that he and his wife had for many years lived in a free state. His case eventually went to the Supreme Court, and in 1857, Chief Justice Roger Taney declared that Scott had no right to sue because, as a black man, he was never intended to be an American. Speaking on the clause in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, Taney wrote, quote, "It is too clear for dispute that the enslaved African race were not intended to be included and formed no part of the people who framed and adopted this declaration." And he went on to say that black men had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect.
That was Melissa Harris Perry, and she's a melanated black woman with MSNBC. And as you can see, her video was, to me, instigating, perpetuating violence. I don't see any other purpose for her doing or saying what she said. It definitely wasn't to appeal to the masses or bring together any type of peace. It was definitely meant to incite violence. Herself being a black woman, I don't see how she felt comfortable constantly repeating things that are not necessarily true. I don't think she understand the Dred Scott case. I don't think she probably even read it. This is the type of behavior and conduct that the media engages in, and they're your number one problem, or at least number two. I'm going to go to the lines and bring in my women, and I'm a little bit nervous because I know I spoke a lot to my women because I have a high regard for them, but I see a lot of things that are being done, or I see them being used, and they're being appealed to based on their emotionality. They're being appealed to increase the distance between their sons and their men. So the men and the boys are growing up doing rap songs, talking about how women are gold diggers, talking about how women are, y'all know the words they use. Where does that come from? Well, maybe it comes from the frustration and the absence of the father, the man. Maybe it comes from they're dealing with women that might be feeding them to a system that just wants to enslave them further. Maybe it comes from the fact that 70% of divorces are filed by women. Maybe it comes from the fact that restraining orders are abused by women 90% of the time, and they're not true. Maybe it comes from the fact that the mother left the father, didn't show adhesion, didn't show resilience enough. Maybe they did. Maybe they had to leave. But overwhelmingly, maybe they're frustrated because mother maybe traded them for a block of cheese, some food stamps, and a little hut on the farm, the projects. These are harsh, I understand, but we have to understand that if the men were being used to do that, I would have the same thing to say. Because I know a woman can change the world immediately. We all come from women. We all come from the woman. And I believe it is them that can change things because what I've seen in these demonstrations are women that are lost. I've seen a woman being beat on the side of the road by a police officer as if she was a rag doll. This stuff has to stop. But if you put the man out and you stick the system on him and he's locked up, or he's enslaved, or his mindset is not right, how can he be on the battlefield and be effective? That's white, black, and green, and brown. I'm going to bring my woman in, Sister Unique. I'm going to bring in Lori. I'm going to bring in Layla. And I'm going to bring in the mother, Rudy. And I'm going to let them do what it is they do. And I'd like everybody to listen attentively to our matriarchs. Give us their version of their side of their opinion about what's going on. Lori, Layla, Unique, and I'm trying to open up, trying to find the mother. Can y'all hear me? Y'all need to unmute your phones? Oh, man, I opened it and it closed right back. This board has been acting up. Yeah, we having a little bit of technical difficulties. Lori, your line is open. Can you hear me? Unique, can you hear me? All right. Layla, can you hear me? All right, I'm going to refresh the board, try to get my queens in. Y'all hold tight, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Thor Radio Network. I'm having a problem opening up my Layla. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
All right. Yeah, finally. Lori, are you there?
Roddy Rooney, I'm here.
All right, finally. I'm trying to find Sister Unique. I don't know. She needs to hurry up and get back in before the live stream closes. But y'all heard a lot so far. And I definitely wanted to get y'all input. You are the queen, the matriarch. You keep me leveled and grounded. And I'll just tell you, first of all, mother texted me and said, you didn't give praises. I got to give praises and honor to the creator, the Most High, for allowing me to be who I am, to come together with you and provide a platform for unity and common unity. So I just wanted to get that out the way. The mother said, I forgot that. I have very powerful women around me. Lori and Layla and Rudy, and as well as all the supporters that we have here. And I know I spoke a lot of things, and I know these women have their own life and their stories to contribute, and it's important that we hear them. So if y'all would, just go ahead and touch on the many topics we touched on. And there's the mother, so I got the mother in there. Okay, everybody's open. You there, mother?
Yeah, I just came on again. Thank you. I got dropped. First of all, I've been off and on. I do have to apologize for that. So I heard bits and pieces, and I applaud all of you for coming on and maintaining what was I would deem the dignity to bring this subject forward. It's a very difficult subject to talk about, and I think you did a remarkable job. Probably being one of the oldest, if not the oldest, on this call, I want to say and reflect that part of our problem, as I heard Brother Street talk about, is a family foundation. And so that has been totally destroyed. People no longer take responsibility for their actions. They no longer have self-respect for themselves. They have no respect for other people. And they don't have what I would call follow the leader, so to speak. There's nobody going before them who would lay down the foundation the way things are supposed to be. I remember when I grew up, and I've heard you talk about the men not being in the home and first one thing and then another, or as Brother Street would say, this, that, and the third. I was privileged in some degree. My father raised me without a mother. So I've always seen a strong man of color. And that's what I expect, and that's what I support. And that's one of the reasons why I'm over here at Forward Brother Sharif, because leadership is very important. And we don't have that many men of color who either are willing to or know how to stand up for not only for themselves, but for their family and for their rights. So I'm not going to say very much. I just wanted to say I applaud each and every one of you for everything that you said. I'm in the back, in the wing chair, in the corner. I'm here to be supportive, and I thank you. And I also respect the fact that you came together to agree to disagree and move forward. Have a pleasant day and peace to all of you.
Well, I'd like to also applaud everyone for the responsible talk that we're having. I think it's a very important talk that everyone needs to have. I think Rudy just touched on a really important part in regards to leadership. I think a lot of people look for leaders instead of leadership, and they buy into the leader campaign that's presented before us at every given turn for everyone to look outside of themselves and find a leader instead of becoming one within your own right as far as leadership is concerned with the people around you. When you take a leadership role instead of just being a leader and creating followers, I think it has a more and more effective impact on those around you. Also wanted to touch on the fact that at Thor, we always teach how to identify things and identify those that are affecting you as far as the debt collection arena is concerned. I think also in our personal lives, we need to practice that as well, identify. But I think the thing that we need to identify the most is ourselves. And when you do that, you're able to look at your weaknesses and your strengths and build on each of those two pillars, creating, hopefully, one really solid unit and learning from the past and moving towards the future. I also wanted to touch on as far as the mass media is concerned, you know, we all know of who Sigmund Freud is, you know, the person from the 50s and 60s who everyone looked to on how to raise their kids. And, you know, Sigmund Freud said it was good, then it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. Well, his nephew was Edward Bernays, and he is the father of mass media, if you will. He's the one who instituted or went forward that everyone leaned towards as far as learning advice on how to market. I know he was quoted as saying, you know, marketing fluoride to the people was like child's play. And he said that in 1993. But I say that only to bring the point of that it's a rigged game if you let it be rigged in front of you. Whenever you look at the sheer facts of what it all is and you start taking it all apart, and you realize that the things, the media, everything is all pointing in towards one end point, one goal, although it's fractioned and it goes in many different ways in order to hit many offshoots of our society whether it be black, white, green, purple, or red, it's designed that way. And I think the more aware we become of that, the better off we are. As far as the father, mother, women getting the child support and all that, number one, I think that we can't be tearing our men down. I think that's a real issue that a lot of women need to address. They, you know, when I was growing up, whenever you were in certain circles or whatever, it became a henpecking session if there was a man who, you know, rolled around on his woman, who, you know, messed around or whatever, and then that became a part of their lingo or dialect that they versed in front of their kids and trash-talking their husbands or their men that they were involved with while not being conscious of the fact that they were trash-talking the father of the child that was hearing that. And that penetrates, you know, we're 90% water. You know, this is a water planet. We are water beings. And water is a, you know, it's a memorable substance. It, you know, it has the ability to have imprint made on it. And, you know, our consciousness is a very powerful tool. And when we utilize that to be fed by our, you know, the attention of our intention, we're able to leave a better imprint, not only on ourselves, but those around us. And I just think it's all-encompassing and all-absorbing whenever you start really thinking about the conversations that you have with others, when you start thinking about the conversations you have in front of others, when you start affecting people and being affect to something. You know, you need to be more consciously aware of all those things. And as far as the child support issues and all those things are concerned, I think it's all a bunch of bullshit. I think that women out there, to make the father of your children have to pay, you're going to drag him down to court and make him pay and make him do this, make him do that, I think is a load of crock. Anytime you try to force a round peg into a square hole, it will never fit. It just never works. You're trying to make something out of something that doesn't need to be made. It's either created or it's not. And as that father, if you, or that husband or that ex-husband or that boyfriend or that ex-boyfriend or lover, whatever he may, you know, whatever it is the father of that child. And when you start making him become this other identity or making him fit in this box or that corner or being made to do something, we have the human response to repel from that. And when you just let something act upon its own will or on its own accord or from its own affairs, not only is it more genuine and more effective, but it allows more things to flourish from it instead of just stomping it and right from the beginning and creating, you know, a big old cluster of things that should have never been in the first place. So I think that as women collectively, you know, everybody needs to be a little more safeguarding as far as their children are concerned, number one. Don't tear down the father of that child, no matter what's happened in your relationship. Remember to safeguard the relationship of that child. As far as the black-white thing goes, there again, I think I go back to the identify thing. You have to identify yourself. I don't identify myself as European, white, or otherwise. I don't identify myself as black or brown. I don't identify myself as green or purple. I don't even identify myself as a woman or any of that kind of stuff. I identify myself as someone who's trying to make the best of my life, someone who's trying to make the best of not only today but my tomorrow, someone that wants to give instead of receive all the time. There again, the mass media creates this false foundation that taps into really what I call the Pandora's box for people, which is their desires. And, you know, you see all the little kids wanting to get the Nike Air Jordans or the whatever it is, you know, whatever's hot for the moment, and they're creating it. It's a designer lifestyle that's being created out there. They are designing the lifestyles, the lives of who it is that they're marketing to, and it's all psychology. You know, so, I mean, I never let my kids get into that stuff, but, you know, awareness, once again, is the greatest thing on that front. But speaking from a white perspective, since we've went there, and we're everybody's being real receptive and responsible, I'd like to bring this so-called white version to the table. You know, being raised by white, quote, parents, from their genre, their era, it was perpetuated to have this racism. It was perpetuated to think that way. You know, they always say you're a product of your environment. So then your environment creates whatever it is that it creates. Well, with that, I'll say that being raised in a so-called discriminating or, you know, however you want to term it, type environment, it ran me totally the other way. It made me more aware than not aware of what was being done and how foolish it really is, and how you consciously can make a choice to include any beautiful person into your life. And at a very early age, I started realizing the game on it all, at how the white community started, they love to identify themselves with the being prejudiced and talking in a prejudiced fashion and relating themselves as being superior. Excuse me, my sinuses have been wearing me out. But I saw that within the white community, and I saw that within the white churches, and it really created me to be more responsible about who I picked and choose to be in my life, or who I picked and choose to listen to, or how I wanted to research things or to look for answers and not just trust what someone's opinion was on the matter, because that's all it is, really, is it's someone's opinion, and it's perpetuated by others believing and buying into it and believing the victim campaign or believing the black and white campaign. I chose to go a different route. I chose to not lead a victim life. I chose to do something about that in regards to the not buying into the whole propaganda of if your man is bad and all this is going on, then you need to run and create hate and create dependency on anyone and everyone that will allow you to be dependent upon it. I chose a different route, and I'm thankful that I did. I didn't realize how it was going to sculpt my future. However, I'm so grateful that at an early age I had that awareness about me. And then as far as the black community is concerned, you know, they're you know, the parents equally, as I was talking about mine, you know, they were brought up to hate the white man, and the white man's going to keep them down, and the suppression and being oppressed and buying into, once again, the victim mentality and thinking that someone controls you. Well, that someone is the same person that controls everyone, or that same group. It's just a different way of it being fed and how you consume it. I just would like to really reach out and hope that we start building a better bridge tomorrow. And, you know, God gives us the rainbow, and the rainbow is made of many colors. And it's one of the beautiful things in life. And hopefully this platform and many others will be able to reflect that in the future. And I hope I've not offended anyone, but that's where I'm at. And I appreciate and thank everyone for coming to the table today.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful, Lauren. Listen, you don't talk much, but you shared a lot. And just to let y'all know, that's my sister on the phone. That's the diversity we have here at Thor Radio. And she touched on some great things. And let me say, Lori's not really out. She's outspoken, but I've never heard her share her internal beliefs on this topic, because we don't talk about it here at Thor. It really doesn't matter. And that was beautifully said, and definitely I appreciate it. Matter of fact, the mother texted me, Rudy, and she was like, that was awesome. So everybody applauds, and that was great. Layla, come on in. Give us your dissertation, and I'm gonna have the gladiators waiting, because I'm going to touch on another topic. Phil's still here, and True Freeman and Gilly, we're going to talk about some law. We're going to talk about some law to give to the people, to the kids, to the women. Some law that's going to help you, because if you're uneducated, then you're going to fall into these type of traps. You're going to fall into the propaganda trap. You're going to fall into the weapons that they will give to you to demonstrate your anger, women, to demonstrate your discontent, to make you feel that they're going to put you in charge. Okay? Do you really want to be in charge of a man? Or do you want to be able to utilize a man for what he brings, and we be able to respect and utilize a woman for what they bring, and we be able to hold hands across the lines? That's one thing that Miller Gilly Pope said that was so true, is that I see people coming together. I played y'all this media stuff just to show you how deceptive they are. And I see people coming together more than that. I seen white and black with signs joining hands in that Missouri town. I seen it. They didn't show it. I seen it. You know why I seen it? Blue Pill, True Freeman, Red Pill, Alex Jones, all of what they call the anti-government groups, the underground, they want to call it. You know, that's where I got the real news from. People's cell phones. You can get it from the TV. We got to turn off that TV. That TV, I learned, is probably one of the most destructive pieces of equipment we have in our lives. But Layla, why don't you come on in?
Greetings.
Give us your monologue on the subject matter.
No worries. Is Unique with us? She
dropped off, and I tried to get her back on, but, you know, you can't call in after the live stream cuts off. So, you know, I'm sorry she's not here, but she said we need more time. So looks like we'll have to do a part two of this maybe next Friday and try to, you know, let you guys start off the show with some things that might educate our young women and old women and the women in general. But you go ahead.
All right. Well, greetings to our family. I sat here and just listened to everything. My heart is just really, this whole situation has really, really elicited some very, very high emotions in me over these last few weeks. And I think it's a good thing. I'm glad that we're all coming together. I appreciate everyone coming in common unity to discuss this matter. One of the things that I firmly believe as far as myself is concerned is that, you know, I aim to be a light and to shine my light wherever I am. I was born and raised in Queens, New York, in the 60s, so I come through that era with all the issues that ensued in that era, especially in the New York area. I was raised with a father and a mother in the home. I'm the oldest of five children. My siblings will tell me that I'm somewhat a bully. I've been not a bully now, but I used to be a bully. But I spent a lot of time and with my father, who had been a businessman, who made out his own business plan and acquired great things through what he did. But he was the visible person in my life as a role model, as a leader, as an example. And he's the one, and my mother, I don't want to dismiss my mother because my mother is, you know, near and dear to me, but my father and I, we had a special bond. And that was such that he just instilled in me and all of my siblings, but there's a 3-year difference between me and my next sibling, that I can do whatever I want to do, don't have to listen to any of the hype that's out there despite what was going on. I remember when I was 9 years old, my grandmother passed away. And at the same time, that was the year that Judy Garland passed away. And she passed away within months, I think, of my grandmother's passing for the very same condition. And I remember asking my mother, I said, you know, why is it that they put up Judy Garland's image on the TV? You know, my grandmother passed away from the same thing. I don't understand this. I just didn't understand. And, you know, during my grandmother's funeral, I just remember, you know, that everybody wore black. And then I remember when we were driving in the limousine, there was a family, a couple, they were getting married, and they were driving in a white limousine. And I just remember making those assemblances, you know, when we use the term white, we use the term black. As a young child, I didn't understand, you know, black was considered dirty, white was considered clean, and these labels that are put on people help to mold unconsciously certain conditions within the people. And I just heard Lori speaking, you know, talk about labels. I don't allow any labels. I don't believe in labels for myself, and I don't allow people, I never really allow people to label me. They may look at me and think a certain way, and that's on them, but it's not on me. So I just bring those experiences forward and say that, you know, growing up in Queens, you know, my parents had later on, you know, before I was going to high school, they had a luncheonette in St. Albans, Queens. And there was all kinds of things going on. There was drugs in the area. You know, they had the apartment. We had people, and this couple was upstairs, and it was a same-sex couple, and they weren't paying the rent, and they came downstairs. So the reason why I'm bringing this forward is because we're talking about some conditions that bring certain things to bear. So the point that I'm making with this is the fact that I remember this, they hadn't paid the rent. And, you know, I remember them going up, and I've gone up with them, so, you know, you need to pay the rent. And they said, okay, yeah, we're gonna pay you a certain amount, and I don't know what happened, but something happened, and this woman came down with a gun into the store. And in fact, what happened, first of all, was the one woman came, and she threw this fan right through the window, the bay window of the store. And I'm sitting right there as the fan's coming through, and my father just ran out and ran into the street, and really, unfortunately, you know, got into an incident with this particular woman. And the point of me saying all of this is the fact that when people are oppressed or have a financial situation, it's going to cause them to make promises, unfortunately, that they're not going to be able to keep. And then if they're not able to keep them, then it's going to cause other situations that could cause an escalation, which we're seeing in Missouri. I understand. I think I heard one of the pills talk about how the food stamps were cut. I heard in some sort of a article I was reading or something I was listening to, they talked about how before this happened, the food stamps were cut off from the people. Food stamps are cut off from the people, and they are oppressed from a certain perspective, that's going to cause an uprising. They're going to get frustrated. So this woman came in, she threw the fan, caused an altercation. Well, the other person came down. Now, mind you, my motto is love, peace, and harmony. It's always been that way. I always aim to get along with people. That's just part of my credo. And I had already befriended these people along the way, knowing that they were tenants, and we were down there in the store. Well, this woman came down. She came down with a gun. And so she's saying, oh, baby, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm sorry I'm going to have to do this. And she was aiming to shoot my father. So what did I do? I got out in front. I said, you're not going to shoot my father. You're not going to do that. So So when I hear the brothers talking and we're talking about how we need to come together and we need to stand up and stand firm, we do. And we need to understand that when we are talking about principalities, there's nothing that you can't put a price tag on principalities. I was willing, I remember, just it's a principle. I was willing to, I guess, to spare my life, if you will, if that woman was going to take a shot. She was going to shoot me, and she was going to have to shoot me before she shot my father. So when we get to that point, when we really realize that there are certain things that we have to stand for regardless of what the consequences will be, when we get to that mindset, then I think things will be okay. An interesting situation before we got on this call, I mean, today I know that we were due to have this call the other day or this broadcast the other day, and today's a day that I usually spend a little bit of time with my grandbaby. And today was a day that we're supposed to go to the pool. So it wasn't going to be conducive for us to do that because I don't want to leave them unattended. And so my grandson, he's 10 years old, he says, well, you know, Jima, they call me Jima, you know, family comes first. And I said, you know, you're absolutely correct. Family does come first. However, what we're going to be doing with this broadcast is family coming together. And you need to understand that there is really one family. And this is what I was sharing with them. I said, there's only one family. There's one human family. I said, just like there are plants out there, all the plants have chlorophyll in them. They're still plants, and they all have chlorophyll. There's a variety of plants out there, but they have chlorophyll. We're all one human family, and we all bleed red. And I was just sharing with them the most common blood type in the world is type O. So I shared with them, I said, you might have somebody that looks a little bit different than you. You know, you might not think they are, but they're your family because they carry your same blood type. And that's really something that I think that we need to talk about and drill down to, because when we look at the reality of it, we are all one family, one divine family, when we look at the facets of that. So as we go ahead and move Indeed. Forward to spread the light and come together, you know, in order to grow, in order to evolve, there is going to be pain. Pain is something that is required in any undertaking. And obviously when we're talking about children, we're talking about childbirth, there's pain in order to bring forth life. If we're going to move to a next level, there's pain associated with it. If we're going to start a new business or any other kind of a business endeavor that we want to move to the next level with, there is pain associated with that. There's pain in moving forward to a higher consciousness. You know, when things go over your head, you don't get it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just learn and grow. Exercising, for those of you who are fitness buffs, you know that you're going to endure pain to be able to get the physique that you want. So with that being said, with everything that we're talking about, although it may be a little painful to come here and speak openly about these situations, you know, it's only going to foster growth. And as we come together in order to affect this change in a concerted effort with cooperation, because it does take others. Nobody can do anything without anybody else. You didn't get here, or we didn't get here, I didn't get here without the help of somebody else. Now, we may all leave here differently, but we all got here by the help of somebody else. Any kind of help that we got to get to the next level to bring us where we are today, we got the help of somebody else. So we all have to band together and lock arms in unity to be able to affect the change that we want in ourselves, as well as to be able to help the other people. And I've shared this many times. I mean, we have to learn to love ourselves. I've spoken openly about how, you know, I've been working on myself. I have to elevate myself. And in order for me to elevate myself and affect change, to affect change, I have to, you know, do that and be able to impart that on other people. I just wanted to, you know, we're at a point in time where as we see people are waking up. I was really, really happy to hear about the Crips and the Bloods coming together, because I heard reports about how the police departments were going into the Crips and Bloods and aiming to get them to help dismantle society, so to speak, as the first interceptors that if they were to come forward to be wanting to gain entry into the home, that they were going to use them as the first people on the street to be able to go and bust into the houses. So I'm happy to hear stories about how they are coming together and they stood united to protect the properties and to protect their communities. That is a first, a very, very excellent example from the youth exhibiting to the older generations that we need to get back to the point that we were once many years ago. So I think it's our youth that is actually helping to turn that tide. And we talk about a skip generation, you know, this generation of me, 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 I, the microwave generation. The youth are saying enough is enough. And we have to come on board and behind and stand behind them and with them, locking arms with them and saying, okay, we got your back. Because they need to see that. They need to see that we got your back.
Indeed.
With regard to everything else, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I just wanted to, I told Brother Shreve that I had a poem that I wanted to share. I see that the call, this broadcast is going to last another 33 minutes, so I'm going to reserve sharing that now. I will share it another time. I think it's really, really important that I do share this. And you can actually bring it up. I'll just share it with you. It's by Og Mandino, and it's called The Scroll Mark 9. And it's a poem that really incites us to act now, to act now, to act now. I will share that with everyone at another time. It's my pleasure to speak to everybody, and I want to be able to sit back and hear what next topic you have to bring forward, Brother Shreve.
Yes. Appreciate you, Queen Sister. We love you. Thank the mother for the comments, and definitely thank Lori. I'm going to bring, I got a few people that dropped off, and you know, the technicalities were affected us. I wasn't able to open some people's lines. Some people dropped, and I know after the live stream they're not able to come back in, so I lost half of my panel. The pill is still here, and I just wanted to end off by talking about, touching upon a couple of topics and giving people some law to focus on. And definitely we have to focus on the things that I feel we talked about, which is the family destruction of the men through use of,
yeah,
you know, the child support system, which is a racket, you know, and we have to look at that because, you know, the child support system allows the system to abuse the men both economically and confiscate their civil liberties. It puts them in a position where they can't even defend you when you need it now, women. It prevents you from doing a lot of things. Well, if you're in the system, you can't protect the woman. So now they come in and they just oppress you because what? It's just women. You're in one area. You're in a concentration camp. You're in the projects, or you're in one other area of the city where they just block off two streets and y'all in the mousetrap. So, you know, we have to deal with that. This court system is a money system. That's why I wanted True Freeman here to talk about that end of it. It's all about money. Municipal bonds, it's all about backdoor money. They make money. One of the ways you can demonstrate that is many of you women, although we are emotional, okay, but sometimes, you know, you turn the brothers over. You turn them over to the system, then you change your mind. And what usually happens? Well, the system say, well, no, you can't drop the charges. Y'all got to understand what charges are, okay? What charges are. What does that mean, okay? Charges equate to money. These courts are making money off of these cases. They trade them like stocks. Do y'all understand that? So when they don't allow you to change your mind as a woman and maybe drop charges, or some of y'all have experienced trying to drop child support, well, now you see why they don't want to drop it. For every dollar, they get $5. That's why they don't want to drop it. And these are private corporations, CPS, all of those protective services. After they take the man out the home, then they come in and they do what? They take them from you, don't they? And your kids are in the hand of a private corporation, no different than Arby's, McDonald's, Burger King, or Walmart. and they have your kids, taking them from you because they either say you have too many or you're not home enough or you can't keep up with all of them or, you know, they wind up going rioting and they wind up doing what? Oppressing you because you did not have the spiritual foundation and fortitude that was needed. And I think our men was forced into a position by fighting two fights, you and the system. And both of those forces are very strong. So we have to deal with that. Judicial corruption is something we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to learn the law. We're going to have to deal with political corruption. Y'all see it every day. Economic abuse, abuse of law enforcement, that's another issue we're going to have to deal with. So, you know, I wanted to bring the pill in. We want to talk about some things. We have to talk about things in a legal perspective. That's why I wanted True Freeman here. You know, what is law? What isn't? I see a lot of our men out there, our youth, to give them something, they're getting stopped by police, all right? And they're harassed on the road most of the time. And I was listening to Phil, one of the NYPD, I guess the new mayor up there, I guess he's from a interracial family. He is white, and his family, his wife is of color, and he has interracial kids. And I know this incident with the choking incident of this of the brother up there, that they felt the mayor was straddling the fence and he didn't take the side of law enforcement who, on many cameras, just choked the man because he allegedly sold a cigarette, okay? And the brother died, and they went up to the brother and asked him for ID. And this is what our people have to know, and I'm just keeping it real because either I'm going to tell you to go out there and protect yourself, which you always need to do, or I'm going to give you something legal to stand on, and the legalities of it is you don't have to show anybody any damn ID, okay? You don't have any requirement to show any ID, all right? So, and I was listening to this, unless you're doing something, they have probable cause to think that you've committed a crime, okay? That stop and frisk law up there that, you know, the court finally decided was unconstitutional. We already knew it was unconstitutional, okay? Anytime you put a man in charge of another man, you're going to have abuse. Now, we have to have laws. No doubt about it. I'm not asking for a lawless society, but we don't have to abuse those laws, and we definitely don't need 6 million of it. But when I was listening to this NYPD, he was ahead of, I guess, the Police Benevolent Association. He was talking about how he felt the mayor was siding with Al Sharpton and, you know, wasn't really taking their side, and, you know, it's the rhetoric, how people, you know, the mayor didn't really come out and tell you, you need to not resist arrest, and you need to listen and do everything these officers tell you. In other words, you need to be abused and take it. And what he said was, you know, you'll have your day in court. Well, we all know that's a bunch of nonsense. You won't have what day in court? Especially for a particular people, but for everybody. You really think you're getting just dust in their court? Let's be for real about this. So he was basically saying that no matter what, you don't need to resist arrest. If you're getting beat, you're afraid of them. They're afraid of you. You're afraid of police. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You should be abused? Well, let me read you what the law says. All right? This is your Supreme Court. Okay? An illegal arrest is an assault and battery. The person so attempted to be restrained of his liberty has the same right to use force in defending himself as he would in repelling any other assault and battery. That is State versus Robinson. Okay? Y'all can look that up. Each person has the right to resist an unlawful arrest. In such a case, the person attempting the arrest stands in the position of a wrongdoer and may be resisted by the use of force as in self-defense. That is State versus Mobley. Yeah. One may come to the aid of another being unlawfully arrested, just as he may where one is being assaulted, molested, raped, or kidnapped. Thus, it is not an offense to liberate one from the custody of an officer, even though he may have submitted to such custody without resistance. That is Adams versus State. That's the law. I'm not telling you to resist, but I'm telling you when the people keep telling you to take abuse and just do as they say, you have to look at what the law says. They are law enforcement officers. What I just read to you is not my opinion, but that is the law. Phil, you got anything to add to that? Yes.
Yes. I was in a similar situation in the year where the NYPD attempted to take my life with an illegal chokehold because I felt that I was observing an unlawful arrest of an individual who I knew, and he wasn't resistant to what they were doing to him, but they were about to put him in a very compromising situation as well in terms of the chokehold, and I interceded on his behalf, at which time I was put into the same illegal chokehold that you see snuff the life out of Eric Gardner. And had I not resisted the attempt for them to take my life, I wouldn't be here today. So I hear a lot of, you know, the lighthearted, fun-loving people on the planet, you know, speaking about how peaceful and loving you should be. And I'm a very peaceful, loving person. I'm super optimistic, but I'm also a reporter. And I have a duty, you know, to tell it how it is. And if I had just laid down and resisted, you know, and not resisted the attempt on my life, I wouldn't be here today. So I had to utilize a level of strength and aggression in order to lock my neck, you know what I'm saying, to lock my arms where they weren't able to pull my arm down to choke me to death. So that's exactly what they were trying to do. And then when they got me on the floor, he was trying to shoot me. You know, if I wasn't holding this officer's hand for pulling his pistol out. So I subsequently got charged and everything, as you're saying, but I stood on those laws that you're talking about, and I defeated them in court without a lawyer. So I do know that if we're willing to defend ourselves, if we're willing to stand on our own principles, which is self-preservation, we can live to fight another day in court and stand on quote-unquote law, you know, and defeat them when they are wrong. Everyone, unfortunately, is not afforded that particular situation now because, you know, the intensity has kind of like heightened. And I think that it is very smart to give our family these cases, verse them in law and things of that nature. Be clear, we're looking at a different policy that has been handed down to law enforcement in America, and they have an extermination agenda. And again, you know, people are being blind to it. They want to overlook it. They want to look past it. You know, they want to talk about singing colorful songs and everything. But you're dealing with a whole other type of individual. You're dealing with a whole different type of policy at this point. You're dealing with, you know, a anger that has been released and that has been increased based on this presidency and based on the fact that white Americans feel that something has been taken away from them. And this is a country that they have killed hundreds of millions of people, okay, to occupy. And they love this country. They love that position. And I'm not mad at them. You know what I'm saying? Because they are, you know, willing to die for it. They're willing to kill for it. They have a fervent love for this place where they're willing to kill to not only occupy it, but they maintain it as well. And that's what we're seeing at this particular point. They want to kill to get it back. And because they can't kill the president, they're going to kill everything, you know, that resembles the president. They're going to stoke these flames and they're going to create this atmosphere. Not because I said it, not because I'm reporting it, not because I'm seeing it for what it is. I'm just seeing it for what it is, you know. So we also got to go to certain markers such as astrology. We got to go to different things to say, you know, what exactly is happening? What day and time are we in? Is there going to be a return to family? Is there going to be a return to households where they have bananas in it if the man is 28 going to the club 35? You know what I'm saying? Is this realistic? Are we just romanticizing history and not being practical with what we're dealing with? We're dealing with a different day and time. We're moving towards different. Everything evolves, not necessarily how you want it to, but things are going to evolve. The planet is moving into a different place, and the people are becoming different people. The age of the eye is here. You cannot reverse that. The age of the eye is here. The individual is very much, you're looking at the dawning of the age, but it's only going to get stronger. The individual is only going to get more sensitive into the individual. The individual is no longer about the group. That is a dying dynamic. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. That's why you're seeing people are very fickle about standing on these particular topics as a group. protesting. That's going to die. That's no longer going to be a dynamic society that's going to be supported by the individual. The individual is like,
right.
I'm going to do the ice bucket challenge. Okay?
That's right. That's right,
and
brother.
That's what we're looking
and,
at.
And
so,
that's great information. When we're moving forward, the dynamics have to change, the picketing and whatnot. Definitely not rioting, but, again, we know that a lot of these things are being perpetuated by people that are in the media.
By individuals. No, not only that, but they were perpetuated by individuals. That wasn't a group effort.
That's right.
You didn't see wrongs of people doing that. You know, it don't look like the stores on Thanksgiving at midnight. You know what I'm saying? That ain't rioting. That ain't looting and shit. When people be running them stores 600, 500 deep, consumerism is a lot more rapid than what you saw on camera. So I think people, again, need to cut it out. It's being reactionaries. And they're pressing buttons like they always do in society. Those were individuals. You know what I'm saying? And it was only a few of them. Those were isolated incidents that got past it. Okay? They had enough police protecting those stores and protecting that property that nobody should even be worried about that stuff. Like, let's get past that. Somebody lost their life. So even if we're talking about the law, you know, law and a lot of these constructs are supported by the astrological factors that are the backdrop to these things. Things are changing as above, so below. We need to focus on that. We need to focus on study what time are we in. You know, what exactly are the stars saying? Are they supporting the attitude that we have as quote-unquote humans? Who we are and where we're going? Are we listening to the children? Are we looking at them? Because they're going to determine the future. You know? We're looking at a changing of the guard. A lot of people are talking this Piscean stuff, but, you know, we're in Aquarius, and things are just going to be different. And we need to focus on how we're going to approach that, how we're going to ride that wave. Are you going to end up underneath that wave? And again, like I said, I just see a lot of that playing out. And as a reporter, you know, for somebody with my finger on the pulse, I'm just going to report it as is. I'm going to change what I can. But like people were saying on the line earlier, it definitely starts with self, the individual, you know? So we got to figure out what it is that we need to change about ourselves and what it is that we can change about our direct, you know, surrounding, our family environment, those that we love the most, those that are looking to us for inspiration, those that are drawing from our example, you know what I'm saying, and then maybe they can go out and do the same thing. Group dynamic, you know, that's something that's definitely in the crosshairs at the time. You're not going to see a lot of it. And I just, you know, I beckon the people, just observe it, just watch it. Just watch how it's going to die out.
Indeed.
You know, that's not because I'm being negative or I'm not being optimistic towards unity and things of that nature. I'm just saying that the planet, the people, everything about us is changing. You know, the things that support or have supported the things that we have become so accustomed to, those things are falling, they're deteriorating. You know, show me the family. Show me the family dynamic in operation right now. It doesn't exist.
That's right.
And there's nothing that's going to pull that thing back together. It's a wrap.
That's right.
So,
but we got to pull it together
because
that's where our strength is.
Yeah.
We have to come together as a people because that's where the strength is. We have to deal with, we have to learn law because we don't know law. We're seeing an overwhelming police presence, and we have to understand what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. We have to understand the power of the people. I don't think the people understand that the jury is the most powerful, the supreme in this nation. It has complete authority to consider both fact and law itself. The jury. And the jury is what? The people. So we have to understand that. We have to look at jury nullification. For people that don't understand that, you have to know what jury nullification is. And we have to look into those things. We have to educate our youth and our people. And then we can kill a lot of the stuff that's going on by learning that, learning, you know, whether you have to be identified while you're walking the street. There's no such thing. Your Supreme Court has handled that issue. I believe it's Collender versus Lawson. United Supreme Court ruled a police officer cannot arrest a citizen for merely
refusing to present identification. Like, all of this stuff, we have to know the law, okay? An illegal arrest, I just keep telling everybody, just so you'll know, just so you have to know to bring people together. There's plenty of cases out there. Start studying. And I'll read you a case. These principles apply to an officer attempting to make an arrest who abuses his authority and transcends the bounds thereof by the use of unnecessary force and violence, as they do to a private individual who unlawfully uses such force and violence. That's Jones versus State, Texas. I mean, you got to look into the law and see that nobody has the right to abuse you. I don't care what kind of uniform, robe, or what kind of costume they put on. This is just ridiculous. And there's an overwhelming movement in holding certain people because they have certain jobs as having more value to their lives than you do. What, since when the servants have more value than the masters, which are the people? Since when? You can't blow at somebody, or you can't look wrong, or you don't move when somebody tells you to, and you're subject to getting beat. That stuff is just cowardly. Beating women on the side of the road, shooting unarmed individuals. Those are cowards. I don't care what kind of costume you put on. You're a coward, okay? And for you to tell somebody to, you need to just submit and just take it, I don't know what's wrong with you. But we got to look back at us. What's the I? The I is, well, you know, we tell these forces that, you know, we're abused and, you know, he called me fat or, you know, he hit me. But, you know, we see videos where judges are jumping off benches beating up lawyers in the court in front of law enforcement, and nobody does anything, and they get back on the bench and they laugh about it. This is where we've gotten to, and it's sad that we don't hold anybody accountable, and I don't know what it is, but we have to elevate our conscience, not through violence, through education. We got to give our youth something to read, and we need to read about who we are. Yes, we have to deal with some puritanical issues, and we have to definitely bring back our spiritual foundation and bring back the family. If you bring back the family, you're not going to have any cowards out here beating people and shooting people. Okay, it'll stop overnight because you'll be subject to the same abuse or you'll be subject to the people. And that's what they've gotten away from. They have us so scared. They have us, you know, fighting each other to where they're able to come in and, you know, they show violence all the time. You want to talk about our kids, Bill? I mean, violent video games, police shootings all the time. Who do they see?
World Star.
Okay, so they see violence and they go into school with weapons. Why? Who are they scared of? Well, they're scared of the police. Who are the police scared of? Or are they training you to be scared of the people? It's easier to stereotype and lump people in the group than to deal with people as you deal with them on an individual basis. So it's easier just to say, well, all police is bad, and I got to speak to their end. Yeah, they have people to think, you know, you got some people out here, but what are we dealing with? What a society that they created, Lupil, because everybody's on some pills. Now they make marijuana legal. Why do you think they did that? Well, first it's money, and second of all, now you're on drugs, so they got a reason to kill you. They got a reason to throw you in jail. They got a reason not to take you seriously because you're on a recreational drug. I mean, there's a lot of dimensions to this, and I know we can't get everything in one call, but, you know, I think we got a good bit done, and we need to have another show about it, and we will. I've already got some emails that we need to do it again, and we will.
This was excellent.
I want to. Yes, sir.
This was excellent, and I love everybody that came forth. They definitely had a healthy diversity of opinions, and I think that it all works together. You know, it all fits underneath one roof. It's a beautiful thing. Like I said, the fact there's many colors in the color spectrum,
indeed.
And I think that this show is a testament to that. And through dialogue, it's the only thing at this particular point. The more that we dialogue, the better that it is going to be able for us to understand one another's, you know, opinions and directions and approaches. I learned a lot from this show, softened my heart, put a smile on my face. It made me even more optimistic. It's a beautiful thing. So, I thank you. I applaud your audience. I applaud your guests. And let's do it again sometime.
Indeed, man. Look, first of all, I want to say, first and foremost, man, I love you, brothers. Pills, Red Pill, I know he's not here. Appreciate y'all coming by. Y'all made this a very good family event. It's always great when brothers can come together with different opinions, maybe, but I feel in this instance we all shared the same feelings, commonality on this topic, and I know you guys are doing a hell of a job. You know, check the Pills out on Tuesday and Friday on Blog Talk, KTL Radio, Know the Ledge Radio. They've been running 4 years and counting, and I think they are probably the dinosaurs of documentaries and investigative reporting, and they do a great job. These brothers are very professional, very structured and organized in their subject matter, and their subject matter goes from here to the other side of the country. So, man, I want to thank you for being here, man. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming through. Definitely going to invite you again and tell the Red Pill, definitely love him, and thanks for showing up, man, and dropping his attendance and giving us his diction on the subject matter, man. So, peace.
Indeed. Thanks. Peace.
All right. Want to thank everybody for coming in today. Very good show. And not enough time. But, you know, was a show that the mother Rudy was kind of not sure about. Because we're touching, dealing with touchy things. But it's something that I pray to the Creator and I ask the universe whether I can participate in a productive way in this subject matter, and I believe that the Most High allowed us to do that. I love to come together with our brothers, True Freeman. I want to thank him, Gilly Pope, for coming by. Mario, I didn't get a chance to see him. Lori, Layla, my team, I love all of you. Thank you for bringing that feminine energy, that electricity to the show topic and bringing a diversity in what we heard from Lori. Let's go out there. Let's have peace. Let's understand who the real issues are. And I believe we have to clean our corrupt court system or our defective court system, not necessarily corrupt. And we're not talking to everybody, but we're talking to the system as a whole. Whenever we have men and women being released from prison after 20, 30 years finding out they wasn't guilty, we got a problem with the system. Whenever we can have people shooting people in the street and they go into the system and you're able to manipulate it enough to find a way for them to walk, we got a problem with the system. Whenever the people are being oppressed by the people that are supposed to serve them, we got a problem with the system. Whenever we have a media that is always trying to instigate and cause havoc as opposed to putting out a message of cohesiveness, then we know who the problems are. And at this point, there's no doubt who you are. So to all you mainstream media outlet actors and actresses, there's a new wave of internet radio and truth radio out here, and we're trying to bring the truth to the people to put the people back together. To our young men in Missouri, white, black, green, and purple, we thank you for standing together as a people. We thank you for demonstrating and depicting true togetherness, because I believe that's what we have as a whole. Yeah, we have some people that are bad apples, but as a whole, I love the people across the board. To some of you that are out there in the law enforcement agencies and in the court systems that do a great job and that are honest and moral, we thank you. But you have to do your job and deal with the ones that are not. So we're asking everybody to come together. We thank you all for being here. Thank you for coming to Thor Radio. We'll return on Tuesday with our Tuesday Debt Show. And we'll probably have another round two of this show maybe Monday or next Friday. I want to thank everybody for coming. God bless. God bless America. God bless this country. God bless our youth. And again, topic of the day is family. Mother, father, daughter, and son. That's what's going to fix this country. God bless.